Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
There's a 4-hour version of this. Maybe we just play this. Hi, kids. Welcome. Sandberg is going to be useless today. She was at the Justin Bieber concert last night till maybe a groupie or something. You were there like 2 o'clock in the morning.
We left. That show ended.
We,
my husband Pat, Catherine, sure. And Patrick. Patrick, who took a nap during the show.
Did he?
He did.
Well, he's tired.
Yeah, and he didn't feel great, but it's a 2-hour, you know, Justin got on at 9, he ended at 11, we were at the car at 11:07, dropping the kids off at their mom's house at 11:38, back at home, I had to set up some things, I folded a little laundry, washed my face.
Wait a minute, you folded laundry at midnight?
I had to.
Yeah, you can't just let it stay there.
I thought, sometimes I need to do some of my
routine. You know, there's a special kind of sickness.
Well, you need a wind down. That's how I wind
up. I never
down.
In my life have folded laundry for a wind down.
I know. Well, sometimes I can't just
sometimes
run in the house and jump in the
after a long night, I stand up on stage. I like to go home and fold some laundry. How about you, Dave?
Every time.
Yeah. When he lands from a Northwestern game, he goes right
gotta
to the laundry
gotta go fold
room.
The laundry.
Justin Timberlake was amazing, though.
How about Justin Bieber? Is he any good?
I'm sure he's good, but he wasn't there last night. But Pat said
I thought it was a Bieber concert. Was it Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, okay.
Man of the Woods tour. And Pat said it was better than Bruno Mars when we were in Bruno. That's what he said.
Really?
He went from one side of the United Center to the other the entire night. It was incredible. So
jump on the speakers, do all that cool stuff.
Yep, and he did a lot of mixing himself, you know, like a DJ kind of, and it was pretty...
Scratching. The street, we call it scratching.
And you know what he did, which I thought was really good product placement? He wore his own concert t-shirt for a while in the show.
Oh.
Like, so...
And these are available for $79.95
right
outside.
You can
right
buy this as I'm
concourse.
Jumping around in it,
how much
you know?
Is a concert t-shirt now?
It's got to be $40.
It's
bucks,
expensive,
right?
Yeah. We did not buy t-shirts.
T-shirts like 40, sweatshirts 80.
Are they really?
Oh, sure.
Because I remember that was the cool thing. You'd go to a concert, buy a t-shirt, and it was $20.
Yeah, and they were always black. Yeah, this one was black as well.
Oh.
It was black. But the people that are... He's...
was he wearing his...
The Tennessee kids are...
Was he wearing his Outdoor World attire?
So he was wearing some sweatpants. They did do a campfire part where there was actually a fire on one of the stages where they sat around and sang, and you would have loved it, Steve.
I love Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah, but he let the backup singers have songs. Like one girl did
Music of My
Stevie
People.
Nicks. Yeah. One guy did I'm a Country Boy. Thank God I'm a Country Boy. But
really?
But this guy, I don't know if he has a gospel background or whatever. It was incredible. So.
A gospel version of Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
Was it for costume changes or he was on stage while they were
probably
singing
had to pee.
No, Justin was out there while they played a little video about being in love while they did the costume changes into the flannel shirts. Etc. And like he did suit and tie, and he put on a suit jacket for that.
Really concert stages are incredibly hot.
Oh, the lights,
temperatures, incredibly hot.
He was sweating. He kept wiping his
head. Well, that's the thing. We're in this. Whoever conceptualizes tour in this album, and they go, okay, you're going to be wearing flannel. He had to be going, are you out of your freaking mind?
Yeah. And the lights were incredible, and it was they had these like sheer screens that came down, and you could see stuff, and then they went up, and he like turned to even the people behind him. The stage could see him, like he was.
Here's the thing, as you know, Andrea and Dave, you know, I do a lot of stuff with Sandberg and her husband, Pat. You know, we went to Mexico together and all that. Mm-hmm. And they don't seem to mind that I tag along.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they don't seem to mind.
You were at the wedding.
I thought That's the only thing I wasn't invited to. I thought that it was a Justin Bieber concert. If I knew it was a Justin Timberlake concert, I would have gone with you guys.
Well, they have a show tonight, but we are not going to that one.
There's so it's Bieber, show. Timberlake, Bieber?
No, it's just Timberlake, Timberlake.
Oh.
There's no Bieber. We know you're a Belieber.
So that ended our month of birthday fun for the March birthdays because, you know, Pat's mom, Pat, Catherine, and Patrick are all born in March.
So generationally, how is this going to change? Like, will your stepkids' kids, will they have month-long birthdays, or is it going to go back to you don't even get a party?
I think you don't get a party. That's what I'm leaning toward. But
you can't do any more than you've already done.
No, we cannot. We physically, I have
nothing
left. Andre,
it's up to you. You need to stop this generationally.
I will.
You need to stop this. You need to shut it down.
I told my parents I can't even celebrate Easter on Sunday because I've been doing too much in March, and so I'm skipping the holiday.
You do a lot. Maybe wean them from the birthday month to the birthday week, and then by the time they're, say, you know.
Oh, no, it's too late for them.
18.
Well, there's a birthday a week. It's hard to.
It's too late for them. We've lost them.
But if anyone is interested, I have a lovely birthday month photo gallery.
What?
On WGNradio.com, and it's on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter. So you should check it out. You can see everything we did from the very first thing, which was a birthday dinner with Pat's mom in Michigan, to Justin Timberlake last night, which included Lou Malnati's dinner at the Lou Malnati's.
I suggested that you continue right through filling out your personal taxes and just have people take a shot of that as well.
Okay.
So everybody knows how much Pat makes. Mary Vanderbilt used to be on board with me with this stuff, but she's changed and she became a Walk of Famer. She's like a different person now.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
There's a lot of talk in the hallways yesterday.
What?
You know, people going, I barely know Mary anymore.
Well, she started swearing on the air, if you remember.
Exactly.
Oh, that was crazy.
That started at the end of the show.
That is not a swear
Super
word.
Joe, do you still have that?
Oh, come on.
This is yesterday on the show, later on the show.
I'll dig for it.
Okay, let me know when you get it. Thumbs
you
up.
You like me, don't you?
See, this is the other thing. Threats and intimidation to other staff members ever since you became a Walk of Famer. I don't remember you getting like this, Dave.
No, you can't expect special treatment from your colleagues.
Plus, David Kaplan put out a really nice tweet to WGN about how we're the best of the best and how he feels very honored to be a part of this. I didn't see a tweet from Mary.
That's a very good pick.
Chuck Swirsky did, too.
Oh, see? Chuck
really tweet.
Yeah, the dead guy even did it.
From heaven. A little tweet from heaven.
Yeah. Does it appear?
Did he use God's account? Or
I don't like to advertise.
Did he use God's account?
I think a tweet to me is an advertise for more accolades.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
At JC Savior.
Yesterday, later in the program, this is how Mary Vanderbilt changed.
The Ryan's 24 from 95th. A bit slow on 57, 115th, but Bishop Ford looks good.
I mean, we were shocked as the rest of you.
Like I said yesterday, in Mary's defense, during the rush hour, especially in Chicago, any given road.
You're saying that's an accurate description of the word.
Could be accurately described that way.
As a swear word.
Yes. Let me try that word. Try one more time.
Come on,
Steve.
Ryan's 24 from 95th. The bitch slow
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what she said.
115th, but Bishop Ford looks good. As I told Bill Leff yesterday, you're supposed to, when you know something weird came out of your mouth, you're supposed to just keep going and totally ignore it, and hopefully nobody will catch you.
How is this playing at the home, your mom's home, and all the older ladies? How is this playing there? The fact that you've gone blue.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Well, how's it playing? I mean, has there been a response yet?
Well, they knew...
Because if I was your mother, I would wash your mouth out with soap and ground you for the rest of the week.
May I offer Mary some advice?
Yeah. Mary,
stop cursing
on the air.
Don't... The more you protest, the more Steve is going to pound you on this.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a Nick DiGilio right there.
I still remember Little Red Riding Hood days.
Yeah, well, case in point.
Yes.
We could dig that up. I hear that the FCC is also investigating now.
You know what, Steve? I can't blame him.
It's not a swear.
Oh, yes, it is.
What do you call a girl dog?
Maybe in the Walk of Fame it's not, but amongst us regular people walking the earth, it's filthy language. But she's not wrong. It is a bitch out there.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, item number one, Mayor Emanuel's $8.5 $1 billion O'Hare expansion project before the city council today. They're going to vote today to advance it, to the deal?
Yes, they will give the city power to issue up to $4 billion in bonds to get the airport construction project going. And they also today will be considering an oversight commission that will include Black, Latino, and female aldermen tasked with trying to make sure that contractors on the project give enough work to minorities and women.
Spread it out.
Spread the wealth, yes.
Can we get any of this money put towards the border wall?
I don't think so.
Not the same fund?
I don't think it's the same fund. However, the mayor is saying that also on the docket today, they're going to push for a new lease and new use agreements for the gates at O'Hare, which reportedly will not cost the taxpayers a penny.
Oh, we'll like to see that paperwork.
Allegedly.
$6 billion of the $8.5 billion is for all the new Sbarros they're putting in.
and the Cinnabons.
Yeah, all those, yeah. Next! You want to get out of town? New nonstop flights to New Zealand. O'Hare's longest flight are going to be available. 16 to 17 hours, depending on the headwinds.
Longest flight I ever took was to Sydney, Australia.
From L.A.?
From L.A., yeah. 18 hours.
It's a long time to be on an airplane.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
Were you in first class?
No. I was in coach.
Middle seat?
Window.
If you're in coach middle seat for 18 hours, you do have a right to lose your mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I haven't taken a middle seat since about 1980.
That's not true. You're not a middle seat.
I remember the last time I was in a middle seat. I was flying from Miami to Los Angeles.
Okay.
It's a long flight.
That's a long flight.
And I'd gotten bumped. I had to be on the next plane. Middle seat. The people on either side of me weren't so thrilled either.
No.
but middle seat for about 5 hours, probably.
God.
And I was not. I said, I don't care how much it costs. I'll take money out of the kids' college fund. I'll do whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm never going to sit in a middle seat again. And I haven't.
Agreed.
Now, I bet that was 1992, 3. Mm-hmm. Not going to do it. As a matter of fact, I think middle seat should be eliminated.
I sit between you and Dave on a flight to Arizona one time.
Yeah, but you're a tiny girl.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So, quack. Illinois joins the lawsuit challenging the citizenship question on the 2020 census. I think it's up to, 12, 13, 14 states now?
Yes, it is. At least 12, possibly.
Can we take the test again today? I studied.
Dave, you know what's interesting is after Dave miserably failed the test, during a break, Andrea gave him new questions, aced it.
He did.
You just blew it out of the park.
Because there's 100 questions random, and they randomly select.
We just picked the questions you didn't know. That was unfair.
I just grabbed 10 at random.
You can hear most of us fail the citizenship test if you go to the podcast at WGNRadio.com.
Or not.
And just to clarify, the question that will be on the census is, are you an American or not?
Yeah, it's not a citizenship question. Like, do you know if Alex Trebek is Canadian or not? You know, the question that really matters.
The Constitution was done in what year?
Yes.
1787.
That's exactly right.
Very good.
Quack. Sidney Roberts was director of the Illinois Secretary of State Police since 2010. He's been chosen to lead the Civilian Office of Police Accountability by the search committee formed in November by Rahm Emanuel. This is a fairly difficult job, by all accounts, because you got to investigate the cops.
Right. This is COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. The selection committee was vast. And this is who they selected. I think it's a good choice.
I don't know any of the city Roberts at all. So, but if you say it's good, I'm behind you.
I think it's a good. Again, like you just said, this is a very difficult job to have.
Yeah. It's not the good COPA, like the Barry Manilow COPA. Right. This is the tough COPA.
Yes.
Next, the top donor to Gary McCarthy's mayoral campaign is a Chicago personal injury attorney who had his law license suspended 3 times. Including for paying a funeral director and a morgue worker for steering a business from grieving families. That's ugly. Who's the personal injury attorney?
Let me look that up. Hold on. Stand by.
Because, you know, there's two. It's funny, this topic came up yesterday. But the two most prominent personal injury attorneys that jump off the page are Glenn Lerner, the muscled up dude. Mm-hmm. You know, that likes to show how muscled up he is. That guy, who always seems very happy to be representing you, you know, if you believe his commercials. Seems, I don't know, Glenn Lerner, he's probably a really nice guy. And then, who's the guy with the info tapes? He's been on late night TV forever.
Peter Francis Geraci, the lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, Peter Francis Geraci, who had info tapes you had to call and listen to.
Oh, my God. The one we're talking about, this is Joseph Dombrowski.
Don't know him.
I don't either.
Don't know him. Well, he's entitled to make contributions. It's just it's an unfortunate headline for Mr. McCarthy. And Kim Jong-un was with President Xi of China. It's Mr. Kim's first trip abroad since taking power in 2011. He had not left the country since he took over power in 2011. Kim Jong-un, surprise trip this week. And the reason, it's fairly obvious. The only ally that Kim Jong-un has is China. And you can't go meet with South Korea and the United States until you meet with China first and say, I'm going to go meet with those guys, and here's what we're going to talk about.
Right. And did you see there was a photo op, too? They snapped a photo where they're standing together. And it looks like, remember, you know, in the old black and white photos, they're standing next to each other and nobody's smiling. Everyone just has that
deadly
arms
serious
at their side. Yeah, deadly serious look.
So he got back on his choo-choo train and went back to Pyongyang.
Yes.
Sometime late yesterday, their time. Top six brought to you. Oh, you know who it's brought to you by. Where's the big voice guy?
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
It is 6:40. Karen Conti is here. This will be Sunday night. Karen Conti's on the radio. What time do you do that?
Good morning, Steve.
Hi. What time do you do that show of yours?
Shows from 7 to 9 on Sunday evenings.
7 to 9. And you talk about law and stuff? Or are you so sick of talking about law during the week you take other calls?
Yeah, I take other things, too. We're doing some other things that are of interest and, of course, taking legal calls at the end, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, let me ask you a question outside of the headline. Well, I guess it's a headline. President Trump can't seem to find attorneys to represent him. Dan Webb, among those who have turned him down. You know, the general consensus amongst people who don't do what you do is, hey, if you got a chance to represent the president of the United States, you're going to jump at it. Therefore, it must be Trump's guilty or he's so impossible to work with. I want no part of it. But that doesn't tell the whole story, I understand.
Well, first of all, there's conflicts of interest. Someone like Dan Webb represents hundreds of people across the country and the nation. Plus, he's in this big mammoth law firm. You know, they've got thousands of lawyers. So there's conflicts of interest. And you can imagine that Trump has all these business interests, whether he's completely associated with them or not. They run a conflicts check, and a lot of them can't do it for that purpose only.
Okay? Well, talk about that for a second, because if you have a huge firm and you've got a huge client, how would you not have a conflict with everybody?
It's almost always a problem. It seriously is a problem, because just think about it. What if the firm of Winston & Strawn, where Dan Webb is a partner, what if they represent somebody against one of the Trump entities? You can't very well represent Trump and then have your law firm partner represent somebody against that entity. So it is very complicated, and it causes a lot of problems in these big firms, because these big hotshots get all these good cases, and big companies have different subsidiaries, and it's very complicated. So my guess is that a lot of these just can't do it from an ethical standpoint. That's the first part.
So is that why a guy like Michael Avenatti would pop up out of seemingly nowhere? Because even though this is Stormy Daniels' attorney, bigger attorneys might not be able to take the case?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. I mean, some of these, just because you're not in a big firm doesn't mean you aren't a fabulous lawyer. But I think there's also people who don't want to represent Trump because he has a reputation of not paying his bills. And I've read it over and over again when it comes to attorneys, when it comes to painters, when it comes to contractors. And you don't want to get into a case and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal fees with you and your law firm and not get paid down the line. That's just not what you take on. And when you take on a Trump representation, you're going to put everything into it. This is a very public set of facts. Anything relating to Trump is going to be public. And lawyers want to be paid. They're not doing it pro bono. So the other thing is, he doesn't listen to people. And I think there's some lawyers who have a big ego and they can't deal with a client who may not follow direction and may be talking out of both sides of his mouth. And if the lawyer
and leaking
told that, yeah, they're right. And lawyers, you know, some lawyers don't like not having that control. Some lawyers are okay with it, but I would imagine that some of these big shot lawyers say, you know what, I'll opt not to do it just because I don't want to be made to look like a fool.
That's why I never understood agents who represent the same clients who are lawyers. If you're going for the same job, I always thought that would be a conflict. But Karen, what happens if you have a client who just doesn't listen to you? Do you have the right to just drop them?
you absolutely have a right to withdraw from the representation as long as it's not going to harm their case. That's kind of the rule. But, you know, you deal with difficult people. That's not, I mean, you know, we represent criminals. We represent sociopaths. We represent people who are doing wrong things, and sometimes they're doing right things. So we have to manage that. And that's one of the talents of a good lawyer, is to say, listen, let's put a game plan together, Mr. Trump. Here's the game plan. I'm going to talk about it. You're not. You're the president. Don't get down in the dirt. Do your presidential thing and let me handle this case and make it go away. That's the way it should be handled. But with Trump, he's never listened to anyone. He's never really worked for a company other than his own. So he's just not used to following direction, as we can see. I don't think, I'm not even saying that in a critical way. I'm just saying that's just the way he operates. So you'd have to give up some of that control if you're his lawyer.
So in other words, if you as a lawyer are willing to take on a client who doesn't listen and you may not get paid, he's your dream guy.
Your nightmare guy. That's, you know, and you know, again, I think it was Alan Dershowitz who said, you choose your clients to build your reputation. And, you know, that's kind of a strange thing to say, because a lot of lawyers will take on serial killers and politicians who have done wrong. But I think there's a perception that if you're representing bad people, you're probably a good lawyer, because when the chips are down, you're the person they hire, right? So, but in the Trump situation, I think that he's been tainted a bit by some of the things he's said and done. And there are probably a lot of lawyers who say, I'm just not going to get in the dirt and deal with a porn star on a case like this. I can imagine people in high positions saying, I'll represent him in something else, maybe that has to do with the Russian investigation, because that is very important and serious and interesting. But for a porn star, you know, I choose not to use my talents on that one.
But porn stars and pathological liars deserve love, too. you know, they've got to be represented by somebody. Well, what if Trump called you today? Trump called you today. Would you take him?
I just, I probably wouldn't have the time. I wouldn't take that, Steve. It's not, you know, he would never call me on this one, but I just wouldn't have the time and the resources. You know, you need a big law firm. Look at what happened in this case. Just a couple days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, Daniel's lawyers have sued now Cohen. Cohen is the lawyer that was representing Trump, that is representing Trump, and he was the one who supposedly made the $130,000 payment from his own pocket. Well, now this lawyer is being sued. Now his malpractice insurance carrier is involved. Now he's going to be a defendant, not a lawyer. Now he's probably going to have to withdraw from representing Trump and defend himself. He's going to sit in a deposition for hours talking about why he paid the $130,000, and it's going to ruin his business for a period of time. Like, who wants to deal with that? I wouldn't want to deal with that.
And Michael Avenatti, this bulldog lawyer for Stormy Daniels, what sort of legal risk is he putting himself and or his client in by doing things like tweeting out a picture of a CD, which may or may not contain incriminating photos of the president and Stormy Daniels, and then not following up on it and sort of, you know, amping this whole thing up? Don't you at some point as a lawyer have to deliver?
Well, that's a thin line there. I mean, could you take that as extortion? Is that some implicit idea that, listen, Mr. Trump, if you don't drop this or pay us money, we're going to now open this box and we're going to see what's in it? You can't do that, but is that really extortion, or is that right on the line there? I don't know. Yeah, you're ramping this up. This thing is ramped up. You know, this thing should not have been ramped up, but it is.
But as an officer of the court, he has a responsibility to represent his client in a manner that's not a, you know, a reality show, right? On some level. I mean, I know that's sort of a gray area, but he's enjoying his TV time.
He is, but you know, I don't blame him for that. This is mm-hmm. a public case. And the whole threat of this is public. So this is not about the money, because Trump has the money to pay this woman off and move on, which is probably what he should do. But this is about the president of the United States and his reputation. Not that anyone cares about this anymore, about his reputation. But yeah, this is all a public deal. And this is where the law spills over, and what people perceive is more important in some ways than what happens legally.
Do you have any idea, by the way, why it was $130,000? It's just such a weird figure.
It is. I don't know. I'm sure it was one of those
$130,000.
Why not round up?
So I say 150, you say 100, and we settle at 130?
Yes, it's like a house.
I don't know.
Yeah, something
bizarre.
Like that. Yeah.
More questions for you when we come back. .653 Karen Conti, Sunday nights on 720 WGN. What time again?
From 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock.
Karen, we all use Facebook. In a lot of trouble. Cook County joining this lawsuit suing Facebook. Lisa Madigan wrote a letter to Mark Zuckerberg demanding answers from Facebook about their business practices after a consulting firm affiliated with President Trump's campaign reportedly got data on millions of us.
Yeah, interesting lawsuit. She's the head of the Illinois. She's the Illinois Attorney General, and therefore she has to basically be the person who is enforcing the consumer fraud laws. And what she's saying is that all of the Facebook users here in the state did not give consent to have Facebook give over this information to this data collecting company. So let's just look at what this really is. She's not saying necessarily that collecting data and trying to influence an election is necessarily illegal, because it probably isn't. You know, I was just thinking about this. When you go to the grocery store and you're using your little card and you get the receipt back and it says, oh, you like Lean Cuisine, you're going to get a deal on it next time. Well, how do they know that? They know that because they're tracking your data. And people have been doing this for years, and there's nothing wrong with obtaining data and trying to, you know, sell something to someone or trying to influence somebody. Now, where that steps over the line in campaigns is a different story. But the fact that Facebook allowed Facebook users' information without their consent, that's what she's saying was the illegal part, was deceptive, fraudulent, and wasn't disclosed to the users. That's her argument.
So we know it's the first step toward a lawsuit aimed at holding them accountable, but would there ever be a chance to recover monetary damages for people whose privacy was violated?
Well, what she's asking for is a certain dollar amount per user, and I don't know if it's $50,000 or so. The Consumer Fraud Act that she's going under allows punitive damages, allows attorney's fees, so Facebook could be on the line for millions of dollars. Now, that money probably won't go to the consumers. It'll probably go to the state, and I don't know if there's any thought that it's going to be divvied up among users. My guess is there's going to be a class action suit filed simultaneously now with Facebook users. There's some lawyer who's going to say, all right, you guys, did you consent to this? No, you didn't. This is consumer fraud, and there might be a class action suit.
Let me just spin it all the way back to where we started here. So, because we had a couple questions and text messengers about this as well. So do lawyers pick clients based on a feel and their experience, or is there a specific criteria you go through?
Most lawyers, the average lawyer, takes the cases that come to him, okay? I may not take a case because I just don't think it's a fit. Maybe it's not my area of expertise particularly. Maybe it's an opposing counsel who I maybe don't get along with. Maybe the client is giving me some, bad vibes. And so I'm old enough and I'm mature enough to say, I choose not to have this client. Maybe I'll send that client to somebody else. This person, you'd be better suited to be with somebody else. You know, a client comes to me and says, I want to get divorced, and I want 100% of my husband's money. And I say, well, that's not possible. And he says, no, that's, you know, or I'm going to do that. Well, I'm not representing somebody whose expectations are unreasonable, because I'm not going to meet those expectations and I'm not going to involve myself in something. So there's all kinds of reasons why you would decline representation. And there's certain clients that you want all the time. You want clients who are willing to cooperate. You want clients who want their cases resolved and who are reasonable and who are, reasonable is the bottom line.
You know, if I don't know if you know this, but Mary Vandeville has changed since she became a Walk of Fame member. So if I wanted to sue Mary Vandeville, would you represent me or her?
Oh, this is really hard. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'd get you all into mediation, and we'd stand there on the walk, and we'd pray together, and we'd hold hands, and we'd figure out a resolution. That's what we
and then go for a cocktail.
Listen, I'm in church most Sundays. I don't know what prayer has to do with the fact that Mary's changed.
I'm not.
Everybody's so different. I haven't changed. I love that line from, what was that song?
I know what you're talking about. Sunday night. Karen Conti on the radio. Thank you.
Have a great week.
I'll take a break. Come back. I'm told President Trump's going to be calling today.
Oh, you're back on his good list.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe.
About that.
Maybe.
Just trying to be fair to everybody. You know me, Captain Fair. That's what I do. Dave, Loyola preparing for Michigan. Remind people what time the game is.
Game is at 5:09 on Saturday.
Followed by
Kansas and Villanova.
It's a good time for us to make picks, like midweek picks. You want to make some midweek picks here?
Yeah.
I think Loyola beats Michigan.
Are these our picks, or do we? Because Andrea needs 5 minutes to think about
it. No, she didn't. She can work off the instinct, off her reaction time.
I'm going to go with Loyola.
Andrea, Loyola or Michigan?
Loyola.
Okay.
You blinked at her.
No, I didn't at all.
Like three times quickly.
No. Not in the least. Steve Grzanich.
Loyola.
Walk of Famer.
I got to go Loyola.
Like she's even responding to it now.
I just ate my yogurt and messed up.
Super Joe.
Michigan.
He's a Michigan fan.
He's a gold blue.
Yeah. He's a Michigan guy.
Picked him from the beginning, baby.
He's a Michigan guy.
You're going to be so disappointed when they lose Joe.
Joe, debatable. Were you born in Michigan?
No, I vacationed there. Mm. That's actually why I like him. Vacation there. Mm. And my favorite X-Men character was Wolverine. Is Wolverine.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Sandberg, Loyola?
Loyola.
Okay.
I think I just talked smack for the first time ever, didn't I?
You did talk smack. A little bit of smack. I also have Villanova in the second game.
I am going to go with...
And Dr. Most just quit talking to me because he's a Kansas.
I'm going with Kansas.
You're going with Kansas?
Yep. Loyola, Kansas final.
Imagine this. Dr. Most and Harry Tynowitz both went to Kansas.
He went to Kansas.
I wouldn't... We were
that school,
Kansas,
must, be, the only that school must be diverse.
And... My kids went to Missouri. They hate. They're not even in the same conference anymore. They still hate Kansas.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And Kansas hates them.
Good. I hate them too. Bill Self is a traitor. That's right. I harbor no grudges for 15 years.
All right. So there's our picks. Everybody else can mail theirs in. It's 7:00. We'll come back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN. That's the third time I've said we're coming back with the news in a moment, and three times Joe has told me we don't have a break. So, Joe, do we have a break?
We do not.
Okay. Time now for the news. This is Chicago's very own. It's a delight working with me. Squirrel!
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where, essentially, I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
710 now. Luke Canellis, proud graduate of Loyola of Chicago. Luke's coming on today. Hype man, Luke Canellis.
He is very excited.
He's the guy that made you an honorary Greek.
Yes, he did. Well, he and I are the MCs every year for the HEPA banquet.
Yeah, and you say it right, too.
Yeah.
Because you know how to.
And Lou is in San Antonio.
Oh.
Getting ready for Final Four.
Cool.
Here's what sports guys do in television and radio. Week of, they go down about 5 days early and then talk about how they're covering the story. And they run up the expense account.
Play golf.
Yeah, play golf, go out, eat steak dinners.
Right.
You
have such a...
What?
Such an inaccurate perception of what sports guys do when they're on the road.
Oh, please. I've done this. I've made this move. Fly to another city. Crank up the expense account. Luke Canellis right now, he's in a bubble bath. He's having hot and cold... Huevos Rancheros brought
to you. In a bubble bath?
That would be cold. I don't know why it'd be cold. Oh, the president's on the phone. Oh, I can't make it.
Wow.
Let me go to the phone right now. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Cochran. You know, I was actually using my executive time to stream you on WGNRadio.com in the White House.
Well, that's a pleasant surprise. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, you know, at this point, I'll use anything to drown out Melania yelling at me in Slovenian. Believe me.
I'm guessing it's temp time. So let's dive in. Stormy Daniels, 60 Minutes. Kind of surprised you're not tweeting about it.
That's because Vice President Pence distracted me with a laser pointer. Now I know how cats feel. I'm addicted to that thing.
Well, it's understandable. So you did see it. Of what you consumed, what did you think?
I did watch it, and you know what? So boring. So boring. Such a huge waste of time. Her lawyer promised that she would reveal new bombshells. Well, I'll tell you what, they weren't new, believe me. She had that work done like 10 years ago. But again, I'm just guessing because she wore that big, frumpy red blouse, which showed absolutely no cleavage at all.
Wrong.
No cleavage. Tremendous ripoff of an interview. It was so horrible.
Yeah, your scoring system is interesting. Well, I didn't think you'd like it, but now Stormy is suing Michael Cohen, that's Trump's attorney, your attorney, for defamation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, good luck with that, losers. You know, it's impossible to win a defamation suit against Mikey. He has the world's most famous client, me. Frankly, I'm too famous. Too famous. They can't defame him. He's indefamable.
Don't know that that's a word. Are you still suing Stormy Daniels for $20 million?
Yes, and we're going to collect, Cochran, believe me. $20 million is nothing for an actress like Stormy.
Really?
All she's got to do is be like in, what, 85 more pornos? That should only take her about a month and a half. Amazing work ethic, I'll give her that much.
Well, Stormy Daniels' lawyer is a tough guy, and he has really had it out for you, this Michael Avenatti dude. What do you make of him?
I hate him so much. I mean, he's ruthless. He's incredibly conniving. Huge scumbag. And he's absolutely fantastic, and I need to hire him immediately to get me out of this Russia investigation.
He does seem like one of your guys. Listen, we've heard that you've been having some issues with your own legal team. John Dowd left. You're looking for new lawyers. Nobody wants to work with you.
There's no issue. No issue. John Dowd just resigned because there's no Russian collusion. Mm. There's no collusion. He was only going to stick around if there was collusion, mm-hmm. but there's no collusion. And I wish him the best. There's no collusion. I just want to keep my options open, okay? I was thinking of giving that Glenn Lerner a call. He's my kind of lawyer. Totally full of himself. Maybe he could turn this Russia wreck into a check. Who knows?
Well, that's possible. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is there any collusion?
No collusion.
Okay. Well, how are you coping overall? How's your family dealing with this daily, weekly scandal? It doesn't seem to go away.
You know, I will tell you, in all fairness, Melania is a rock. A rock. She's completely unwavering, and she's 100% behind me. 1,000 miles away down in Mar-a-Lago on spring break with Barron.
Yes.
Seriously, this is tough stuff. It's tough stuff. Barron asked me the other day, he said, "Hey, Dad, who's Stormy Daniels?" And I said, "Stormy is the new left-handed pitcher the White Sox got in the offseason. Ain't that right, Mike Pence?"
"Yes, sir. He starts this weekend against the Royals."
"Good one, Mike."
"Very fast thinking on your part, sir."
"Go get me a Diet Coke."
"Already took the liberty, sir."
"Thank you." They broke the brown nose of mold when they made Pence Cochran.
Boy, that's true, isn't it? Now, rumors.
Really?
Rumors, you're going to get rid of Chief of Staff John Kelly and replace him with you?
Why not? I mean, frankly, I'm the best person for the job because nobody can tell me to stop tweeting, then ignore myself when I tell myself to stop tweeting better than me. Nobody.
Would you actually interview yourself for the process?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, good.
Minor detail.
Mr. President, one more staff change and note. You now have John Bolton as your national security advisor. H.R. McMaster is going to be leaving. You know, you think Bolton's the right fit, huh?
You know, I know what you're thinking. Can the guy who sings "When a Man Loves a Woman" better than the original be qualified to be national security advisor? And I say yes, bigly qualified.
I think you're thinking Michael Bolton there. It's not John Bolton.
Okay, you may be right about that, but there's no confusing John's ability to grow a fantastic mustache. No, really. He's won the Wilfred Brimley lookalike contest the last 10 years in a row. Totally beats actor Sam Elliott every time.
We finally found something you and I could agree on. Good point, sir.
I mean, how do you not love a guy who has the kind of mustache you'd see on an albino walrus at SeaWorld? Where you could feed him raw fish for lunch. He's such a great guy.
Listen, President Trump, thank you for calling the show.
In no way was this a waste of time, Cochran.
Thank you. I think he's really starting to enjoy being on.
Enjoy might be a strong word.
I don't know. I felt like enjoy. 7:17. Quick break and we're back.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm not sure what happened yesterday at Lane Tech. Apple came in days ahead of time and announced this big event that they were going to do. And they went in and they announced at the big event the Creativity in Education program that they were amping up. And they updated the iPad for schools, but they're charging the same price.
Well, it's actually a cheaper iPad. It's $299. It was an education-themed event. It's a new iPad model. It's with that Apple Pencil. So schools and students will pay $299 for these new iPads.
Oh, but the regular population pays the regular price.
Yeah, the regular people will have to pay the regular price.
All right, now I have...
Non-students, I should say.
I have it right here. I have a Samsung Galaxy Note 8.
Okay.
With a pen. And the pen, I don't use that often, but when I do use, it's handy.
Okay.
I could, you know, pop it out. I can write on the screen without the phone being on. And it goes into my notes.
It's like a stylus.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hold it up for people if you're watching on the stream. If you go to WGNradio.com.
Okay.
I mean, it looks like, you know, like, well, it looks like a stylus.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of what you just said.
Yeah.
and it says snaps into the phone, and I lost it once, by the way. Don't lose it.
What are they, like $50 to replace it?
$80. No. Piece of plastic, $80.
No.
So, but my question is, the stylus, which was originally, what was the original stylus
device? Oh, it was for a Palm Pilot.
That was it. Palm Pilot. And it didn't catch on because people would lose the pen. And they said, well, why can't I just have a keyboard? Or why can't I just do, you know, do things with my finger? I don't know that a pen-driven device has ever truly caught on, is it?
Well, with the Palm Pilot, then I guess I don't think there'd been anything in between because then you went right to BlackBerry.
No, there've been other pen devices, but nothing hit. Nothing hit. So my point is, Apple debuted this yesterday.
Yeah.
For what? What's the pen for? What's the stylus for?
It's just a new... Well, they use it. I mean, they went through a whole demonstration and...
Well, tell me. What's it for?
You can draw. You can do math. Some were writing poems. Some kids wrote poems. We choose to go to the moon in this decade. I mean, it's what you would normally use a pen for on a tablet.
Kids don't write.
And the styluses are a little bit different than they used to be. They're much more responsive. If kids take notes with them, it's easier... perhaps than typing on the iPad.
Kids don't write.
Well, some of them do, and it's easier to draw, do artwork. And these new styluses are way different than the Palm Pilot. They're much better than those.
I don't know any kids that write. None. The drawing, I mean, if you're artistic, you're artistic, right? I mean, you have some sort of art skills.
Yeah.
But I don't know any kids that I mean, they have a tremendous aversion to handwriting. Not only do they not write, they just don't want to do it.
Yeah, well, it's not just writing. I mean, some of the new curriculum, some of the new tests, some of the things that'll be used in the classroom, they can use that pen to, you know, either touch like a multiple choice answer or, you know, put a check mark.
When you vote, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a touchscreen.
Yeah.
Not buying it.
But if they have an essay test or something, don't they still have to write?
They do.
That they could probably type.
No, you can keyboard an essay.
Type it, yeah. You can hook your iPhone into a keyboard or your iPad.
Yeah, well, I think most schools have an ability to keyboard all tests.
Sure, maybe this is a way to get them to go back to writing because we had to write growing up.
I made this point to Ross a long time ago. I said, let's say, because his handwriting's terrible. I said, let's say you're kidnapped and you're a hostage, and they take your phone and you have to scrawl a note. Okay. We'd have to get like hieroglyphics experts from the University of Chicago or Northwestern to come in to interpret that you wrote the word help.
But they do know how to print. They all print.
A more likely scenario is a significant solar flare blowing out all of our technology and pushing us all back to pen and paper, pencil and paper.
Was that something Apple debuted yesterday as well, a solar flare?
No.
Does Apple control the sun?
No. But boy, if that ever happens, you're doomed.
I would love a flare.
No. A solar flare?
No.
Just a flare. I'd always just wanted a flare.
Just wanted a flare?
Yeah, seriously. Like
just to walk around with a flare?
Yeah, I mean, you never know when you need
mine?
A flare.
No, not a flare pen.
Oh, okay.
Walk around with it with a flare.
With one of those red things that look like dynamite.
Yes.
Just get you a lightsaber.
All right. So the one question I heard from Apple people yesterday was, is this all we get? Is there going to be another rollout this fall? Isn't there typically a spring and a fall rollout?
Yes.
Yes.
Because they're going to want something new to sell for Christmas.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm an Android guy. You Apple people.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You Apple people. What do you want? What do you want that you don't already have?
I thought you had a great idea yesterday. The Apple clip. The iClip. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be there.
You clip two pieces of paper together and... And then whatever you're thinking shows up on the paper. We're working it out. At this point, it's just a brainstorming sort
of
session.
That's a really, really, really good question. And I'm not just saying
that. Yeah, well, I don't know what you
want. I'm trying to think, like, because
do you not have that you want?
I take a ton of pictures, and I'm very happy with the quality of the pictures I take. I'm happy with my storage.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you want that you don't have?
I think we're out of ideas. I think we need to start going backwards.
How about if the iPhone could drive for you?
I was just thinking that. How about an Apple car, self-driving car?
Well, they've been playing around with that idea for a while.
Right.
I,
but,
I want it to be easier for me to take something from my iPhone and put it on my television without having to buy another piece of equipment.
Right, right.
You know, when
like
you're
Apple
watching
TV
a little video or something.
Sure.
Yeah,
but
you know how Apple got super rich by making you buy new stuff.
But you can do that with, depending, if you have a smart TV.
AirDrop.
Yeah, or screen
well, smart
mirror.
TV, and you have accounts on other things. You just password in your accounts, right. And your smart TV takes care of the rest. So I've not heard an idea that that Apple can come up with by the fall.
Maybe it can print money.
I think that's illegal. I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
I also think that's pretty much what they do.
That's exactly right. That's a great point, Dave. All right, if you have an idea what Apple can do, we'd like to know so we can tell them. We need to call Tim before he leaves town. That's Tim Cook. Timmy, as I call him.
Timmy.
Hey, yo, Timmy.
He was at the store last night, the Apple store last night.
Was it an open house or trying to sell it?
No, I think he was just there, you know, checking with employees.
Went to the Genius Bar?
Yep.
I'm having a problem with my iPhone.
He did an undercover boss situation.
Did he?
No, I'm kidding.
It's 728. Headlines coming up, 720 WGN. How about the iCoin cryptocurrency from Apple? So you guys have no ideas. The listeners are jumping in.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why we really... We wanted to leave it up to them.
Yeah.
A bigger iPhone 10, iPhone X model with a smaller Face ID bar. I don't know what that is.
I don't have the 10.
Well, my wife has the 10, but I'm trying to think why you would need a smaller Face ID bar.
The 10 is only facial recognition, right?
No, you can use a passcode.
Oh, okay.
We don't have a name for this yet, but I sort of like where this person's going. If Apple could remove all the irritating people I'd work with. So there'd be an app on your phone that you could click, and all the irritating people at work would disappear.
I like
the
that.
The I disappear.
I'd be concerned, though.
Actually, I guess it'd be the you disappear.
Yeah, we're not giving that to you.
I'd be concerned working next to Andrea.
Oh, no, I would never do that to you.
As far as you
know. I love you.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I've been stuck
in motion. 740, a month of Sandberg family birthdays, Sandberg Boyle family birthdays. It's all up there. Behind the scenes photos. I think the Patrick Jr. photo shoot was quite something. I thought he showed a lot of emotion.
He did too. A lot of business tips from you, though. I think
he did. Sometimes he has red eyes because he has light eyes like I do, so we get red eyes in the pictures. But the gallery is up at WGNradio.com and on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page. And Kevin Powell has a gallery up right now
of what
the food from Sox Park yesterday.
We're trying to get Kevin on the show this morning, but he's refusing to take our call because I thought it would be a good idea for Dave, he of the kale. He's one of the kale people to compare with Kevin. They were both at the Guaranteed Rate Field Foodathon yesterday, where the new food was rolled out, and to compare what you ate to what Kevin ate.
Well,
snarfed.
They had, let's see.
That'd be a good name for a stand there, Snarf.
Oh, there's Snarfs is in the Prudential Building.
There's a place called Snarfs?
Yeah, it makes the best breakfast sandwiches.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just have a question. How did the assignments get handed out for the eating fest yesterday?
Well, it was the sports.
That's a very good point. How did Grzanich get left out of that?
Well, because you're in news, and this was sports.
Okay.
But it would have been important for Steve to cover possibly the fact that they're selling We Hate Ketchup t-shirts.
Right.
I find
that to be a news story.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's a great news angle.
There's business behind that. There's business information.
Yeah, of course. Business.
Steve, I feel like you got screwed.
I did. Yeah. I feel like
features,
I
business.
Steve, I'm sorry. I promise we'll make it up to you at some point in the next few seasons. I did see Kevin eat a slurve, which is a Johnsonville cheddar beer bratwurst topped with caramelized onions and spicy deli mustard. He was eating that.
Sounds healthy.
And I was eating a salad.
Oh, sounds super healthy.
Who's more fun to hang out with, the salad eater or the hot dog eater?
I'm very fun to hang out with. Just because I'm eating a salad doesn't mean I'm not
fun. People can go look at Kevin's gallery on the website at WGNradio.com, but I would also like them to look at the Sandberg Boyle March birthday blowout
gallery.
Check
them both out.
Yeah.
Check them both.
Because when we get that report as to who had more views, I would like to beat Kevin.
Competitive.
Just a little bit. Thank you.
And by the way, Dave's food, Dave, I don't think you know this. Dave's food, whatever Dave eats makes this sound. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, but at least Dave usually has like a beer that goes with it, right, Dave?
No, I wasn't drinking beer.
A beer and a salad?
Whiskey?
You know, not a beer and
you're
a salad.
You're drinking at a business meeting.
No,
Moscow Mule.
Oh
my God, I
was not married.
Okay,
Mary, how was your traffic report yesterday morning,
Dave?
Boy, Kevin's gallery is like food porn. Porn,
I'm trying
by the
to
way,
help
there.
You, Dave.
Yeah, you're helping a lot.
Here's some more listener ideas as we continue to do six different shows in one break. A new Apple innovation, the iRadio host, maybe we could call this the iMcMurray. So whenever I'm out, Pete McMurray, we could just do him on an app.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, the iRemove. This is where you get rid of people at work. That's probably the good name for it, the iRemove. And you would swipe right if you decide to let the people stay at work. Swipe left if they have to leave work immediately.
Okay, I like that one, yeah.
Yeah. We're looking for
new
Apple,
like Tinder.
We're looking for new Apple innovations. You know, new Apple innovations. Isn't charging one of the biggest problems, as in charging your phone?
Yeah, it loses a charge unless it's a brand new
so
phone.
So how about the iCharge where you just blink and your phone charges?
I like that. You know what, though? Wait, that's not a bad idea. What if you had a port? You know, you wear a Fitbit. What if you had sort of a ring or something that's just like an eye charger, and all you have to do is put your hand on it?
What about a port directly to your heart?
That's fine, too.
Yeah. You just plug it into your heart, and like it would recharge.
Okay, the Fitbit type thing, how would you charge it?
You charge it at night, but it would carry a longer charge.
That's too much
No, you know
work.
How you have these charging stations at home now that are built right into your countertops? Something like that. Why can't you just have that? Why can't you be a walking charge?
I think what we're looking for is something called the iLazy, where you just would be able to just get anything done you want without thinking about it or doing anything.
No, that's fine.
Yesterday at Lane Tech, the kids got new learning iPads. Oh, and by the way, I'm getting mixed signals from you listeners on the texters. About half of you are saying, yeah, kids don't write, and the other half are viciously saying kids do write. And you don't know what you're talking about, you being me in that case.
Oh.
Well, there's a good chance I don't know what I'm talking about. I do know kids that don't write, and those are kids I know. So.
How about this?
Yes?
Most kids today don't write
I don't
a
think
lot.
So. Yeah.
I think that's fair
well,
to say.
Well, so a couple of point, they write when they do math. Well, those are numbers. I'm talking about words. Words.
Let's ask a millennial the last time they wrote like a thank you note or a letter to someone.
Those always stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I make my kids
always,
still do it.
Always yeah. stand out.
You always have to write the thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good thing when you write the thank you notes.
I think it depends on what age you're talking about as kids. Because like your kids are kids, but your oldest is 30. Are those
Amy
the kids
writes.
You're talking about?
No, no, no.
About?
Amy writes.
Okay.
I think it's Ross is 27. I think it started with Ross's edge of millennials.
Okay, because we have 14, 11, and they write because they have to write for school. I mean, they write, and they do thank you notes because
you make them.
But they aren't weird. All their friends do, too, so they have to write.
So there was just a 10-year gap between Ross. Ross just got caught in a 10-year I don't write gap?
Maybe they didn't write, and now we're correcting. You know, that generation also got participation trophies, right?
Right.
And nobody won anything.
There you
Wait,
go.
But hold on a second. You're just talking about a month of birthdays, and you're talking about participation trophies? Who's more indulgent than you guys?
I know.
Okay, that is true.
But our kids do right, because poor Patrick struggles with it. So
well,
it's a
repetition.
Struggle for all of us.
Repetition. Right?
I have to say, at 42, I still struggle with it as well, so...
Oh, that's true. Your handwriting sucks. I'd forgotten about
that. Not because I grew up with phones, just because I don't take the time, is what I was
thinking. I had forgotten about that, because I haven't tried to read anything you've written in a long time.
I've stopped writing.
Yeah.
I just type
I've
now
created
for
trauma.
You.
773, the Apple car key locator.
That, yeah, right there.
But
Absolutely.
You got those. But you got the. There's a lot of different versions of that. You
yeah,
know,
but,
those little sticker things you put on stuff.
Yeah, but sometimes I tried that one time, and it's almost like a mini another. You know, you have the remote control for your car.
Well, see, that's the key.
Like
you want it all on
it.
One thing.
Yes.
You want everything located on one thing. We're headed for that. We're not there yet. Everything on one thing. That way, when you lose that one thing, your whole life is crap.
Right.
Just immediately when you lose it.
Great. Tell me something I can't do with this iPhone.
I almost never use an iPad anymore. I'm an Android phone guy, but I almost never. I'm bi-technological. I almost never use the iPad anymore. I can't tell you the last time I used a laptop or a desktop computer.
Well, we use one every day because you use the laptop, the desktop
in
here.
My personal life.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the only reason
okay.
I'm using it here is because it's sitting in front of me and you have to use it.
Right.
But my point is. Anything I need to do, it's pretty much
it's
in the palm
phone.
Of my
it's
hand.
Phone. Right.
It's crazy.
If you want to shut down Dave Ennett's life or my life, steal our phones.
Please don't.
Give me your phone. Dave has actually gone without his phone for a day. Remember that?
He was chaos.
And we played in a golf tournament that day, so I was on. I think Karen and I became best friends that day.
Yeah, you're texting my wife.
Karen, we're going to meet for dinner.
Yeah, if you even for old people like Dave and I, if you don't have your phone, you feel naked.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Like that one time when you lost your phone, you said, I felt naked, and I said, Dave, you're not wearing pants. That's what you felt.
That was where my phone was.
Right?
Yes. Text her from the 331. They need to make an app that'll stop my mother from hoarding all the good cookies.
Okay.
The I Procrastinate. It would be an app that allows you just to put everything off till tomorrow. But it would organize all the things you're procrastinating over.
In the order.
It would order the things that you didn't do today. How about the I Mute? Automatically muting people that repeat themselves after the first time they make their viewpoint heard. You go, hey, you know, I really think we should go to dinner. Why don't we go to dinner? The second one you wouldn't hear. They'd be muted.
Yeah.
These are all good ideas. Text question, what does Apple need to release? Because I think Apple's out of ideas.
You know what?
That technology, might be... I think technology's out of ideas. And as far as the driverless car thing goes, that we brought up in the last segment, the only people I want to have driverless cars are the people that suck at driving.
Yeah.
The rest of you, I want you to control your own vehicles. Maybe the road rage people. Because how would you road rage if it's a driverless car? Sit in the back and yell at the front
seat?
Yell
at the steering wheel.
Yeah. But I want more people on the road handling the cars than just robotic cars driving around.
And how do you give them a ticket, the driverless cars?
Email.
Yeah.
Well, who do you email? The car?
Yeah. The robot.
Who it's registered to.
I don't know. It's all very confusing
to
me.
Weird. You pull them over and you're like, oh, hi. No one's there. Yeah,
they're going to have robot police cars, too.
Hey, Steve, I don't know if you heard. There was a big food thing yesterday at Guaranteed Rate Field.
I'm looking at Kevin's pictures online at WGNradio.com. It's like food porn. It really is.
Poor Steve.
I feel like I just missed the assignment of my life.
Could have been a huge break for you.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
How about the IPOOF? The IPOFF. Or POOF, I should say. Point your phone at someone, touch the F, and poof, they're gone.
God, I love that idea.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Not for you.
Somebody else texting, whatever happened to the Are You Smarter Than a Millennial game? Remember we used to play Are You Smarter Than a Millennial when Ross and Kevin were on the show?
We have to do that.
We're going to have to Joe. We can bring Ross back. Joe, are you a millennial? I guess technically you are.
I'm a Taurus.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were something else. Let's see. I mentioned I procrastinate. Oh, here's a couple of notes about the writing thing. Since January, I've given a wedding gift and a baby gift to a new mother. Neither sent, I've given a wedding gift to someone, and a baby gift to a new mother. Neither sent a thank you card, just a verbal thank you. Are verbal thank yous okay now?
Honestly, I think an e-thank you is better than a verbal thank you.
No,
don't you?
Verbal thank yous are not good.
Yeah.
At least if you're writing an email, you're typing a note. I think email thank yous are fine.
Continued degradation of our standards.
And an email or a text, I think.
More lemonade
too.
On the porch for the old guy.
I think a text is okay if you don't see the person.
A text?
Not for a wedding gift.
No, wait. Let me just say, I got a very nice Christmas gift.
What are you wearing? Daisy Dukes to a formal wedding now?
No,
what do you mean? You got to have some standards.
I got a very nice Christmas gift from a relative, an elderly relative, who doesn't live very close.
Mm-hmm.
So I, well, yeah, right. I should have said thank you.
So basically, this is just an excuse.
As soon as I said I sent her a text, now I feel bad.
Mm-hmm. How about the iLie? It's an Apple lie detector.
Oh, that'd be good, too.
Yeah. Tells whether or not you're lying. Well, I guess you would know whether or not you're lying. Tells you whether or not somebody else is lying.
It's like a walking polygraph.
630, my grandsons, age 21 and 23, send personal thank you notes thanks to their mom's early training.
Yeah.
In other words, grandma getting it done. 708, my son's 15. He hates to write. A pencil in his hand is kryptonite. He speaks well. So to get his thoughts down on paper, we talk it through and then jot it down before he focuses on the paper. He doesn't write. How about the iHolo? It's a device that can create perfect holograms better than FaceTime.
iHolo.
Right?
I guess that's kind of cool, yeah.
More of these coming up. One is a pretty good idea. It's the iSpy, and it's an app that steals all your personal data and sells it without your knowledge so you don't have to wait for Facebook to do it.
Doesn't. Okay.
How about the iClone? The iClone, you could like clone
Barbara Streisand's dogs.
Yes, you could. The dogs. Yeah, they have a QR code. You scan it, and then it clones them.
That is perfect for you.
What do you mean?
Because then you can be in two places at once. You know, you always say you want to be invited to something, but because you have another prior commitment, you can't be there.
Wait, I like this. So create a second Steve Cochran who can stay up late.
Right, and can go to things.
Yes.
Just use a 3D printer. You can make one.
But on your phone. They have enough paper for my head?
I don't know.
It would be interesting, though, if I could send me to parties and events at night where normal adults go. Because then a lot of people would go, I remember him. He used to be Steve Cochran.
Right, see?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Went to dinner last night. Maureen and I went to dinner and we're leaving. And it's dark out, and it's like 8 o'clock.
I know.
I'm thinking, who stays up this late? What kind of crazy talk is this?
Normal people?
It's unbelievable.
I know. It's crazy when you start planning your life. You have a great expression that you said, what sounds good at 6 in the morning.
Oh, it's 7 and 7.
Yeah, 7
a.m., it's seven. A great idea. Oh. 7 p.m., it's the worst idea you ever had.
Oh, God.
You don't need that. You don't need that.
You don't need the big plans.
You just don't need that. Want to say hi to a former legendary pastry chef named John and his lovely sister, Rose Marie. John was taking care of us last night at dinner at City Grill in Naperville.
Oh, very nice.
So, good guy.
Very nice. Did you have dessert?
No.
No.
No. No. No dessert for me. You know what I do? I like to walk by dessert and pretend I ate it.
You're doing kind of a healthy eating thing with those veggie burgers.
I'm on a crazy new program. Now, I want you to write this down so you don't have to wait for my infomercial.
Okay.
You ready? Eat less. Move more. Okay, let me review.
Wait, hold on.
Let me review again. Top secret plan here. Eat less.
Eat less.
Move more.
Move more.
Mm-hmm. In other words, a combination of less intake and more exercise.
Yeah, but it's also what you intake or take in.
Everything in moderation, my friend.
Everything in moderation, you but can not everything.
You can literally eat anything if you counteract it with appropriate movement, exercise, and
not
cardio. Anything.
Not anything,
a tire. You can eat a tire.
I feel so zen with you two right now. Just very, you know.
We're connected.
I'm also kind of hungry, but.
Here's some more Apple devices that people are clamoring for. My claim is Apple's run out of ideas. Eyeglasses. I don't know what they do, but you have to charge them overnight.
that'd be kind of cool.
Remember we had the, was it Apple or somebody else that put out the glasses that never caught on? It was Google.
Google Glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 708, iAdult. Anytime you try to send something stupid like a text or a picture, your phone just laughs and tells you to grow up.
That's funny.
You stop forwarding stuff. 309, iRay, to vaporize goofball drivers around you.
Yeah. Got a lot of vaporizing, poofing going on. Yeah.
It's not supposed to be a weapon. I don't think that's what we're trying to come up with.
I'm saying I give a name to this one. The iUSUCK. It's an app to remove bad customers at any store.
Again, these are all just mean-spirited.
Oh, not so much. You have somebody in front of you that's yapping about a $3 transaction or something, you hit them with the eye, you suck.
Somebody writing a check in the checkout line at the grocery store.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know, along with not staying up late anymore, I also have an unbelievable ability to pick the wrong line at Jewel.
Oh, God.
I am so good at that. Let me tell you something. If you ever see me in a grocery store and you're nice enough to say hello, great. Do not follow me in line. I promise you I'll pick the wrong line. How about eye traffic?
What's that?
Completely clears the lane in front of you.
Oh, I love that. Like Moses, like parting the, the Red Sea.
Parting the Red Eisenhower. 708, the eye shocker. You airdrop an electrical shock to the person in the car next to you who won't get off the phone.
That's a good one.
You know what would be great for this is when they're texting at the red light. There's no adult who doesn't come across a stop sign or a red light in the course of their day where they don't have to hit the horn to make the person move because they're texting as soon as they stop.
Mm-hmm. That's the worst.
847, how about the I don't care?
What's that?
It's just an app that says, leave me alone.
We can all use that, right?
News next. Then Dean, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Live to Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Steve, good morning to you.
The Apple rollout of the new student iPad yesterday.
Right, at Lane Tech, right
I feel
here
like,
by WGN.
I feel like they've run out of ideas, so I've asked the audience for new ideas for the Apple products that they want.
What new products are some of our listeners suggesting?
A lot of them involve killing people. Killing people or making them disappear. Annoying drivers, things like that.
Like the Poof app.
Yeah, that is an untapped market.
This is a different one. The iVanish. The iVanish, where you're in trouble with your wife, click the app, and you get to vanish until she's not mad anymore.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
That's like, what is that app now where you can put a message or something up and it's gone? And
That's like Snapchat.
Your Snapchat situation?
Like your Snapchat.
The iToothbrush, where you smile and your teeth are brushed for you.
Oh, that's kind of neat, yeah.
The iBreath, which automatically tests whether or not you have bad breath because nobody can ever tell.
That's a good one.
The iVote, it helps keep idiots out of government and forces you to turn out to vote.
Yeah, but that app works like 29% of the time.
That's exactly right.
That's good. When it works.
224, the iDrunk. You blow on your phone, and if you're drunk, it disables texting and Facebook posting to keep you from making an ass out of yourself.
They have that. They have an app for that.
But you have to do a math question or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
to
be able to text. Of a screening, yeah.
Can we do an opposite version of that where you punch in the app and it gets you drunk?
Oh, we call that the iInit.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
Just seeing if you're listening to this.
Hey, Mary, I sympathize with you.
The iShoe. The iShoe. You get real-time POV from your toes. I don't know why you'd need that, but you'd be walking along and there'd be a camera in your toes and you'd be able to see what's going on.
A GoPro for your feet.
The IOU allows you to borrow money from anyone even if they don't want to give it to you.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that called, like, robbery?
I think that may be. Yeah, I think that may be.
Without the weapon.
219, the iStop cuts off all cell functions in construction zones. That's actually very practical.
That is.
It's a good thing. The iShopping cart. I think they do this in some places. You pay for the food as you put it in the shopping cart. There's a scanner in the cart. You take the food, you scan it, and by the time you go to check out, everything's already ready to rock.
I think there was that store in Seattle that had that like cashierless place.
It's an Amazon thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like you pick up your stuff.
The second you take it off the shelf, it's in your account.
It's
like a
cool
mini bar? Like if you just touch something.
That's a great system, isn't it?
Like a mini bar.
I don't know if I want the cashews. Dang! You owe me $37.50. As soon as you move an item in your hotel room, it charges you. The iBrain. An app that would try to convince you to use yours. These are some of the ideas from listeners.
Good ideas.
My brain.
Very resourceful ideas.
All right, 18. Dean's got quite a list today.
A bevy.
Justin Timberlake in town, and we have a live reporter still at the United Center. Sandberg, are you still at the United Center?
I am.
Okay, even though the concert's over?
I am, but there's a show tonight, Dean, so I thought I'd stay the night.
Oh,
yeah.
Makes sense.
Tom Skilling got honored. Corey Feldman in the news. What a weird story this is. A big-time actor turned down a cameo on Roseanne that premiered last night. Anybody see that?
I saw it.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Loved it. I really liked it. I don't know. Lori Metcalf was a little annoying.
I was going to say, she was probably one of the funniest people. I think they could have done without John Goodman. I don't know if there was something wrong with him, but it looked like he was just reading cue cards the whole time. He was looking like out into the audience.
It's a lot of lines to remember.
Looked like it was he was reading cue cards.
And I love Lori Metcalf, but I think she was just a little obnoxious on it. Very obnoxious.
Well, the premise is Roseanne's
a trumper.
Supporter
and Hillary. Lori
Metcalf isn't. Yeah.
And they haven't talked forever, and now they get back together.
Yeah. So they make up politics.
I kind of like that there was, balance.
Yeah.
You know, that it wasn't one-sided at all.
Like Will and Grace?
Well,
That's yeah, so
sort
funny.
Of. Yeah. Although Karen, isn't Karen Walker a big Trumpy?
Karen's a big Trumpy.
Oh, she's so funny.
And then both Beckys were there. That was kind of funny. Yeah.
I think the girls were the best part. The Darlene and the Beckys.
How'd they do both Beckys?
You'll have to see.
Oh, yeah.
No, but trust me. I'm not going
to
watch it.
Too early to give
a
spoiler.
She was a surrogate.
Oh, I guess it's not too early.
Oh, sorry, Dean.
Spoiler.
Oh, one Becky no, was a surrogate me, for the I'm other?
Just, yeah.
The first okay. Becky the, was regular
the
Becky.
The first Becky did a tour here, if you recall, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, she
was
here.
And the whole station was yeah. going the only nuts show that over the endure. First Becky. Yeah.
And then the well, second Becky was
I didn't
her
think
surrogate.
It was that important yeah. to do the first Becky.
I thought it was. I liked that. I just thought it was nostalgic.
Yeah.
Did they have both Darrens from Bewitched on?
No.
No? Okay.
You're good.
Country Music Hall of Fame and Steven Spielberg all in the news when we come back.
You'll be calling his name.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. And let's go live, Dean, to the United Center where Sandberg's standing by.
Where Justin Timberlake performed last night and will perform again tonight.
Do you have any questions for Sandberg and her concert experience?
Well, you know, general reaction.
It was incredible performance. My husband said it was better than the...
Wait, your husband, Pat Boyle, from NBC Sports in Chicago?
Yes, that husband.
Okay.
He said it was better than Bruno Mars that we went to, so... That was his
feedback. I find that almost blasphemous.
I know. He covered... Dean, he went from one side of the United Center to the other the entire concert. Every person there felt like they were in the front row.
That's because he was looking for his wallet.
Yeah, he's so talented. He plays a million instruments.
He is good. He's really good.
He does
really
good. He brought Sexy back. I don't know if
he did bring Sexy back. He also made a point on social media of posting a picture of the Jordan statue, and then he showed that he was wearing Jordans, and he's, you know, legends never die is what he said. So
I heard that he did songs from his new album,
yes,
and a lot of his hits, but also at one point covered John Denver's Thank God I'm a Country Boy and the Beatles Come Together in Fleetwood Mac's Dreams.
Yeah, and Lauryn Hill, X Factor. He had his Tennessee Kids are the people that performed with him, like all his dancers and singers. And they all sat around a campfire, and he let the backup singers all have their own song, and he sang with them. So he sang along with all of those. And these people are so talented. Justin's amazing, and then the four people that sang that are his backup singers are even more talented. So the two women were out of this world.
So one of the women did Thank God I'm a Country Boy?
No, actually it was a guy. He was shorter.
But he did like an R&B.
Oh, and it was
mix.
Yeah, it was. You would love it, Steve, knowing what I know
about music.
Well,
it's the music
of my people. Yeah,
it's the music of my people.
It was incredible. Great show.
Right.
I'm giving it a Dean's List A.
Oh, well, look at you.
Nice.
Have you ever had anyone give out your grades before?
Oh, yeah, I get that all the time. I get a royalty check anytime somebody
well,
does
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic. All right, there is much to talk about in addition to that, including this weird Corey Feldman story.
That just got weirder a few minutes ago. So earlier this morning, the story comes over that Corey Feldman last night was sitting in his car at 10:45 on the streets of Los Angeles, because who doesn't do that? With his security guard. He says that three men, and this is all in an Instagram post from him, he said three men approached the car and distracted the security man. While the security man was being distracted, another car pulls up. He said a man jumps out and begins jabbing at him at his abdomen. Corey Feldman said that he was stabbed and drove himself to the hospital. He posted pictures.
All right, let's review what we know so far.
Okay.
Sitting in a car,
yep.
10:45 in L.A.,
yes.
Hanging out with your bodyguard,
yep.
Just like you and me,
yep.
Minding your own business. Car pulls up behind. Guy jumps out, starts stabbing me in the stomach.
Right. Well, jabbing at him with his stomach. And I only correct that because now the reports are starting to come in from the hospital and the police saying that Corey Feldman had no lacerations on his abdomen. So it's not entirely clear what happened.
Why? What a weird thing to make up.
You'd think that you'd think that when you go to the hospital and say you're going to stab, somebody's going to notice if you were not stabbed.
Like you have no wounds.
Somebody's going to pull your shirt up and take a look and see that you were not stabbed.
Because I was immediately going to say that bodyguard should start looking for new work.
Yeah, the bodyguard didn't sound like he was much help, does he?
No, it sounds like somebody rattled some keys outside the car and he got distracted.
Yeah. But the stabbing apparently didn't occur. The good news is Corey Feldman's okay and a restless nation can breathe again. But maybe he was using the new app, I Hallucinate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's possible. I thought I got stabbed in the stomach when I didn't.
Yeah.
He says he's been getting online threats lately from a group of people he calls the Wolf Pack. And he says that this is the work of the Wolf Pack.
Yeah, I have the same problem. I have the Wolf Pack chasing me. A-lister turns down a cameo on Roseanne. We were just talking about Roseanne. Who's the A-lister?
I don't even remember George Clooney being on Roseanne.
Oh, I do.
Dude, he was in the first season.
Yeah, he did Facts of Life and he did Roseanne.
Right.
Did he date Jackie on the show?
He didn't date Roseanne.
I don't remember.
I thought I remembered him dating Jackie, but I'll check.
Yeah, I have zero memory of Clooney.
He did a drive-by.
But he did about 18 episodes in the very first season. And so they thought, you know, let's invite him back because they're inviting everybody back to, you know, be back on the new series, either for some recurring shots or regular appearances or cameo, which is what they wanted Clooney to do. And he turned the offer down.
Are they inviting Tom Arnold back?
I don't know if that's going to happen or not. You mean Roseanne's ex-husband? Mm-hmm. Tom Arnold, that one, that has not been discussed.
Tom is an old pal, and when Tom and Roseanne were together, they got together in Minneapolis back in the old days when I was there, and they used to be on the show all the time, and they used to call the show all the time. And they got into this habit where they'd be fighting in the middle of the night, L.A. time, and the hotline at the radio station, this radio station in Minneapolis called KDWB, and the phone ring with the hotline, and the producer looked at me and goes, it's Roseanne. And Roseanne and Tom would come on the air and they'd be fighting and they'd want me to settle their arguments.
Oh my God. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
Yeah. Went on for about a month and a half. Yeah.
And then Steve got stabbed in the stomach.
By Corey Feldman.
Is that when George Clooney called the hotline and wanted you to be his body double?
Same story.
Yep.
Yep. No, it actually did happen.
Right. Clooney,
many times.
Clooney played a guy named Booker Brooks, and he was their supervisor, the foreman of the plant that they worked at.
The plastics plant. Yeah. I have no recollection of that, even.
Yeah.
I remember
Well, it's probably because he got stabbed.
I've been stabbed so many times. She says that it's a bummer that he wouldn't come back, but she understands since he lives in Italy most of the time now. Mm.
That's the reason why.
Country Music Hall of Fame nominees?
These are actually the inductees.
Oh, the inductees, okay.
For the Country Music Hall of Fame. These were just announced, and Ricky Skaggs is going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. Dottie West, legendary country singer. She was the first woman in country music to win a Grammy
Award. That's Kanye's sister, right, Dottie West?
Yes, that's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. And also a fiddler by the name of Johnny Gimble. Played with George Strait and Willie Nelson.
Sure, Fiddlin' Johnny Gimble, we call him.
Fingers was his nickname.
Well, I didn't think of another Gimble.
Fingers Gimble?
Fingers Gimble. Yeah.
So he's also, those three are going to be inducted.
All right. Steven Spielberg turned down what?
He was approached with the offer by Carl's Fast Food Restaurants. Do we even have those here in the Chicago area?
We don't have Carl's, do we?
Not sure, but
Carl's Jr.
Yeah, I don't think we do.
Not in Illinois.
It's a fast food chain.
Yeah.
They wanted to put out a line of hamburgers called the Spielburgers. And Steven Spielberg said, cease and desist. His exact words in his eloquent refusal, cease and desist.
What would the Spielburger be?
They didn't go into detail as to what a Spielburger might, how it might be different from a hamburger or cheeseburger or any other kind of burger. Don't know.
Are they going with another icon and maybe like a Hank burger? You know, for Tom Hanks, that kind of thing?
Might be.
Hey, give me two Hank's burgers.
Tried to get Mark Wahlberger, but that was already taken. He's got his own hamburger chain.
Yeah, that's true.
In the You're Boston area.
Closest location for...
Maybe it's a burger that nobody watches because his last few movies...
That's a good point.
...have not been...
Closest Carl's Jr. is Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Well, that's so my favorite. When I'm in Guthrie, I always stop there.
I would drive now if you're on the way. If you're really hungry, you might be there by dinner.
Don't order a Spielburger if you're there,
though. No, because they won't give it to you. And then we have a Tom Skilling story.
Tom Skilling is going to get a very, very lovely honor. It's just been announced this morning that he is the recipient of this year's Illinois State Broadcasters Association Broadcast Pioneer Award.
Oh, very nice.
An annual award that's given to broadcasters who have dedicated the majority of their careers in the state of Illinois. And Tom has certainly done that. Started doing radio while he was a freshman at West Aurora High School. did a couple of TV stints in Madison and Milwaukee, but he debuted here on WGN-TV in August of 1978. He's coming up on his 40th anniversary.
How about that?
Here at WGN. And is now one of the most respected meteorologists in the country.
And one of the best people you'll ever meet.
You bet. That is 1,000% true. Paul Rennie, who is the president and general manager not only of WGN-TV, but WGN Radio also. And by the way, should be getting an award from the Illinois Broadcasters Association for most handsome general manager. I don't know how he got overlooked this year.
You should have seen the people trying to suck up to him yesterday. He pulls into the parking lot here. People are coming out, go, hey, can I park your car? He goes, it's an open parking lot. We don't need a valet.
Now, you said you weren't going to bring Dave into the whole thing. Come on.
Well, congratulations to Tom.
Paul Rennie said Tom's career is truly legendary. I can think of no better way for the broadcast industry to honor him. And why we love Tom Skilling, it's because he is the weather, but it's also other things, for example, like this.
Not this again. Look, for the last time, you don't own this place. You don't even own your car.
That's not really necessary to go.
If anybody owns this place, it's me, Tom freaking Skilling. I could have you killed if I wanted to. As a matter of fact, hot shot, I'm about to show you who owns this place, you little punk. Go ahead. Keep running, you coward. Let me go. Hello, weather. Yeah, it's going to rain. What do you want me to do about it?
The best. Just the best.
Oh,
that other voice was Pat Tomasulo trying to tell Tom he was no longer with the company. Hey, we don't have time to get into this, but maybe we can pick it up tomorrow. We found out who bit Beyonce. It was Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
No, it was not.
It wasn't?
Okay. I don't think it was. Maybe. Who knows? Notorious RBG. She didn't get the name for nothing.
We do have a lead. Thank you, Dean.
Bye.
See you with the headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Thank you for that enthusiastic welcome.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
They weren't booing. They were yelling Lou. Lou, because you can't really yell Canellis. Canellis! Canellis!
Maybe
that same kind of ring.
That's what they were yelling at you at Northwestern that day.
No, they were booing.
A boo.
No, they were booing.
They were looking for you and Lou.
They were definitely booing.
There was no Lou on the field. We can confirm.
I'm trying.
They actually did a Lou search. They couldn't find a Lou anywhere. It was all booing. Lou Canellis is scheduled to join us in just a couple of seconds. He is in San Antonio covering those Ramblers. And he is as giddy as a schoolgirl because he is a Loyola graduate. You did graduate, didn't you?
Don't tell anyone, but yes, I did. I made it through there. It took me a little longer than 4 years, but I made it.
Were you the last guy they gave a complimentary degree to before they really started cracking down?
Exactly. And the only reason they gave me the degree, Steve, was because back in 1985, I was calling the Loyola games the last time they were in the tournament.
So this is in lieu of payment?
In the old alumni gym where you'd have... You were up in the rafters, and even Lou at 5'7" had to bend down to avoid the pipes where I would call the game.
Wow. Well, listen, you've done your time. Dave, say hi to our friend Lou.
Lou, you bring back memories. The first professional, I don't think I've told you guys this, first professional play-by-play assignment of my life was in alumni gym. It was Loyola and Minnesota. And the Ramblers upset the Big Ten visitors, the Golden Gophers. And I got notified about 2 hours before the game. They needed someone to do the game. And so I went up there and working by myself, hadn't seen either team. It was really fun.
Sounds like you're
Loyola. Loyola won that game, by the way. That place got really, really loud, and I know that it hasn't changed a whole lot in Gentile Arena either. That place gets loud.
Well, it gets loud when it gets full, but that's been Porter Moser's toughest challenge since he's been here for the last seven seasons, Dave, is getting fans to come out. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a head coach out in the student center handing out hot dogs with his players, begging students to come to the games? I mean, the reality is in the conference, in the Valley Conference this year, Loyola had the smallest, the lowest attendance of any team
Is that right?
In the league. Yes.
I don't think that's going to be a problem next year.
I hope not. Honestly, and in all seriousness, as a Loyola grad, you know, obviously the world has jumped on the bandwagon for whether it's because they want to follow the Ramblers, they want to follow Sister Jean. But I am really hoping that this continues, because I truly believe, and maybe it's because I'm an alum, but I believe that Porter Moser, because he's a Chicago guy, Naperville, Bennett Academy, lives in Wilmette, as he says, a Chicago Catholic kid, I believe, and Dave, you tell me if I'm wrong, that he can create something over there in Rogers Park like Mark Few has done at Gonzaga, or Brad Stevens did in Indianapolis at Butler, or Mike Krzyzewski did at Chapel Hill, or in Cameron.
I don't know why he can't, as long as the commitment is there, which apparently it is, from the administration at the university. And, you know, I meant this point on the air a couple of times the last few days. I see if you back me up on this, Lou. In cases where other teams have suddenly burst into the limelight in Chicago, when the Blackhawks started winning again, when the White Sox won the World Series in 05, when people jump on the bandwagon, there's a tendency from the fans who've been there to say, hey, where have you all been? We have all these newcomers on our bandwagon, right? I haven't heard any of that from the Loyola fans. It's been more, hey, come on, there's plenty of room for you.
Exactly. Well, here, we want everyone aboard. You guys see the Tribune today? I don't know if you opened up the sports section, but Steve Rosenblum wrote a column today, and I don't know if you guys saw it. He took an email that he received from someone that worked at the university, and she wrote that your line, quote, we needed you, Loyola, even though we didn't know it was going to be you. And she talked about how it's pulled the community of Rogers Park together. And she came up with the reason.
Cool.
And how this has exceeded sports, guys. This is about something positive in our city, right? While the Bulls tank games and the Blackhawks obviously are going to miss the playoffs for the first time in a decade, and you've got your baseball teams in spring training and the Bears trying to get back on the winning track, here is something, and we know that Chicago is the greatest sports town in the world, here's something to pull the entire city together.
Couldn't agree more.
That's why I think that it can last a while.
The good news, too, is these are really, really likable kids. It goes beyond Sister Jean. Have you seen even a whiff of trouble with these kids? No, and they play like a team. There's nobody that's throwing up 50 shots a game while everybody else just serves. If I'm Michigan, I don't want these guys. Loyola, that seems like Loyola's special year.
It's a great college basketball team. Not one of these kids will play in the NBA, in my opinion. It's about working together, creating a culture, and then going out and executing it. And they've done it. And it all starts with Porter. Listen, man, I've been watching the guy as a Loyola alum. The guy is as passionate and energized as anyone that plays on his team. And you follow the leader. And, you know, I'm so proud of these guys. It's unreal. And, yeah, if I'm Michigan, I'm a little worried. Because you know what? The first three games that they won, well, they won on last-second shots. And it was a different guy each game. And then they put on a clinic against Kansas State from the Big 12. And then you scratch your head and you go, okay, wait. Maybe we shouldn't take these kids lightly. Who knows what could happen in the Final Four? Is this like 85 when Villanova went and beat Georgetown, right, Dave?
Well, yeah. And look, that Georgetown team, I think for a half, because I was there in Providence. Were you there, Lou, when they played Georgetown, the Ramblers, that is, in the Sweet 16?
I was there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. They played Georgetown tough. And then Georgetown was the defending national champ, so... I mean, you never know. It can happen.
Andrea, say hi to Lou.
Hey, Lou Tikanis, how are you?
Kala. See, hi, Andrea.
See, we had to do a little Greek there.
Was that cursing? It sounded like cursing to me.
We'll do that later. Hey, Lou, yesterday, I mean, and covering this, obviously you guys are so in the thick of it, but I heard so many people say, oh, this is the last year. Porter's going to get more money and more money. Everyone's going to be after him now. What are the ins and outs of that? Is he going to be on the market now? I mean, obviously, people are going to be courting him. And this is probably putting the cart way before the horse.
Well, he should get offers for sure, don't you think?
Well, he'll get tons of offers. But, you know, Dave just mentioned it in his sports cast. There were a couple of vacancies filled in college basketball yesterday. And the coach from Xavier, Chris Mack, went to Louisville and took the Louisville job. So now the Xavier position is open. And remember, when this whole tournament started back at the beginning of March, or middle of March, Xavier was a number one seed. So there's a great opportunity to take on a program. But is Porter Moser going to leave Chicago, his hometown where he has become the most popular man? Is he going to leave Chicago to go to Cincinnati? And I know for sure, I know this is a Loyola guy, that Loyola is going to step up and offer a much larger contract financially.
Certainly hope
so. Can they offer $3 million a year like some schools? I mean, the head coach at Wichita State, guys, gets $3.3 million a season. Loyola cannot raise Porter Moser's salary from $420,000 or $450,000 to $3 million. But they're going to give him a bump. And in my estimation, now this is Lou, I think they'll make him the highest paid coach in the Missouri Valley Conference. Is it enough to keep him? We'll find out.
I don't know the guy, but I do know that he seems like nothing but quality stock as well. And maybe that's a reflection, or that helps reflect on his players too, quality from top to bottom. Money changes everything. But it doesn't mean he's going to take the money and run. He could be very happy and be here for a long time. Maybe he takes a different offer down the road. But I think he stays. I'd be very surprised if he jumped at this point.
I would be shocked if he left. And I truly believe that Porter sees an opportunity here. Again, he's built it grassroots from the start 7 years ago with his type of kid. You know, something else I wanted to mention. In the Missouri Valley Conference, Loyola's student-athletes GPA is tops. So what he's done is he has taken that type of student athlete and built this winning basketball program. I believe that Porter sees what a Mike Krzyzewski has done in 38 years at Duke. And Porter says, I can do the same thing in Rogers Park in the city of Chicago. Just give me the chance.
Quickie from Dave.
Well, which is the same thing I think Chris Collins is trying to do at Northwestern.
Sure.
There's one thing. This ride isn't over for Loyola yet, but I think the expectations, he needs look no further than a few miles north to know that just because you have a bunch of guys coming back next year doesn't mean you're going to have the same team next year. This will be a tough coaching job after the success they've had. On one hand, it's obviously a really good team. They bring a lot back next year, but can you repeat? I mean, there's the expectations now will be higher.
No doubt about it. But I think the greater question we have at this point is, if Lou had a baby name question coming up, say, in Lou's family, does he go with Sister Jean? Does he go with Clayton? Does he go with Custer? Does he go with Rambler, which I think is a great name? Where are we going, Lou?
Would you name your daughter Rambler?
Well, Steve probably would.
My wife will leave me before she allows me to call my baby girl Rambler. How about, Andre, you would appreciate this.
Okay.
My dad's name was George.
Yes.
He passed away on 14, 15 years ago, and I met my wife in Georgia. So we're going with Georgia.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Georgia. Beautiful.
That's really sweet.
Beautiful.
Yeah, good for you, man. That's a great call.
Thank you.
Because Custer would be a weird name for a girl.
Yeah, Custer would be a little weird for my baby girl as well. So I'm going to
same as Clayton. It's my little Clayton.
Lou, we are so happy for you.
That's a nice touch, man. It really is.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great weekend, and it's going to be a real test of your professionalism if this game doesn't go well. So for your sake and your blood pressure, I'm counting on a Loyola win as well.
Yeah.
If they lose on Saturday, I don't know if I'll be able to do the newscast at 9. If you're a Loyola fan on your way out here, it's raining, but the temperatures are supposed to be near 90 the next 4 days, so dress appropriately.
Oh, there you go. All right, man. Have a great time, and God bless little Georgia Rambler Canellis coming soon.
Thank you very much.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You can dance, every dance with the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight.
Always nice to see our friend Audrey. Audrey Wayne, Big Shot PR maven.
Hey, Audrey.
Fiance to Mike Jacobson, who deserted us, left the show. Something where you could get an education, make a bunch of money, be happy. I said, what kind of a traitor are you? And Audrey's friends are always welcome here on the show. The wine auction. The wine auction for the lyric. It's time. No, the time has come.
Yeah, it is.
Let me introduce our friends here. Nancy Searle. Nancy, what's your title? What's your fancy schmancy title?
I am the co-chair of the Lyric Opera Wine Auction and the president of the Women's Board of Lyric Opera.
And would you like to introduce your co-chair?
And my co-chair is Keith Goldstein. A true delight.
Happy to be here.
And tell me how often you guys fight about this. Because putting together an event like this, you must be just fighting with each other all the time.
I think we rarely disagree.
You actively settle your discussions in a positive way.
It's been remarkably seamless, I have to say. We get along great.
It's because if you put a couple guys in it, they'd just be punching each other out. You guys figure out a way to solve the issues.
We're too busy working.
Always over a glass of wine, too.
Well, why not?
Part of the job.
Wine Auction 2018. How many years?
It's 30 years.
30?
30th anniversary. We've had 12 wine auctions and raised over $9 million for Lyric Opera.
You know, Dave, the first year, all they had was a bottle of Mad Dog 2020.
Is that right?
That's all they've come a long way.
We have come a long way.
And the Lyric, one of Chicago's great, great treasures. This is one of the major funding events of the year for you.
Yes, we do this every 3 years.
Oh, I thought this was an annual thing.
No, we do it every 3 years because so many people are so generous and give to us from their cellars, it's hard to go back every year.
Hey, more wine.
Yeah.
$500 bottle. And besides, you have to do a lot of research for a wine auction. You have to taste a lot of wines. You need 3 years to do it.
Audrey, are you sommelier yet?
Yes.
Level three sommelier. That's like a white belt.
It is, yeah.
So what type of wine are we talking about? Well, give me some of your fancy schmancy highfalutin bottles.
Our honored guest this year is Chateau Margaux. So we have an awful lot of Margaux. We have a Jeroboam of Margaux 2003, which is signed by Corinne Mensalopoulos, the yes. owner of Chateau Margaux. We have a case of Margaux 1990, six magnums of Margaux 1996, an imperial of 1986 Margaux, and really special, we have six bottles of the 2015 Margaux, which is a very special distribution. It honors their their longtime winemaker who passed away last year, Paul Pontelet.
So a tribute. Mm-hmm. It was a tribute. So
it's Keith, really lovely.
Keith, let me put you on the spot here. What is the difference between a bottle of Magnum and a case?
Volume.
Well, volume. Volume as in...
So a bottle is one bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The case is 12 bottles.
Okay.
Then you have a Magnum, a double Magnum, an Imperial, a Jeroboam... And I think a Nebuchadnezzar.
Well, how big is the Nebuchadnezzar?
What
is that?
20 bottles.
Oh, 20 bottles. Okay.
Because after you've had 20 bottles, you start saying Nebuchadnezzar?
Well, I think these are you can give them as gifts, too. I mean, to people that you really, really like.
You have to really like them.
Big time. My gosh. Okay, so...
Some of those are hard to carry.
Talk about the Imperial. We'll talk about Chateau Margaux, because I know you're throwing some of these names out here, and they're very important names. It's like
Chateau Margaux is one of the most renowned wines in the world. We're absolutely thrilled that the Mensalopoulos have agreed to be the honored guest of our wine auction. And we're... thrilled that Alexandra Mensalopoulos, Corinne's daughter, mm-hmm. is coming to represent the winery.
We should probably say where this is going to happen, where and when.
It's going to be on the stage of the Lyric Opera on April 14th. You can bid online now. The catalog is completely online, and you can go to lyricopera.org/wineauction2018.
I think it's really smart to do it this way. You know, I do a lot of charitable events, and I always encourage organizations. I said, look at doing it online because you open it up to raise even more money in right. advance. Now, the counter to that is, well, we want to sell tickets to the event. People are still going to come to the event, but you open it up to a world of possibilities, including people that can't be there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few tickets available.
Oh, you do?
We're nearly sold out, but we'd love to have any additional guests who might be inclined to join us.
I know what's cool about these prizes too. In addition to wine, there's one. It's called the sailboat. Well, the set sail for the party of a lifetime. So this is not just a dinner party on a yacht with 50 people, but it also includes. Well, you guys can explain. Master sommeliers, famous chefs from Chicago.
Yes, sure. Sarah Grunberg is going to be our celebrity chef
from Monteverde, and she's fantastic.
We have two celebrity sommeliers. Alpana Singh and Ken Fredrickson, excuse me, we'll have Chateau Margaux. We will drink.
What's it going to go for? What's this going to go for?
Oh, we hope lots and lots.
Yeah,
of
but
money.
Give me a ballpark. How much?
$50,000.
$50,000? Dave, are we in for 50?
Let me check my wallet.
It's a party of a lifetime. 50 people.
Oh, yeah.
You're
going to
drink
Grunberg preparing your meal?
Champagne,
yeah.
Have Chateau Margaux, a celebrity chef, and then Jen Gambetez, who sang Maria in The Sound of Music, is going to entertain you with show tunes.
Oh.
All right, let's talk about...
All the while you're looking at Chicago skyline.
Yeah.
All right, you can have my $50,000. Settle now. What about golf?
Oh, well, we have a marvelous trip this year that has been donated by a visionary golf course designer, Michael Kaiser.
The best.
The best.
Kaiser's the best.
He is not only passionate about golf, but incredibly generous. And this year, he's going to give us a trip for four to his new courses at Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia. And I have to tell you, I have been there
Nova
twice
Scotia's
already.
Crazy beautiful.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely magnificent. And you really feel that after a three-hour flight, you've gone to Scotland. I mean, it's gorgeous. He has two fantastic
Cabot
courses
Links
there.
And another one.
Cabot Cliffs.
Cabot Cliffs.
Cor Crenshaw. Ben Crenshaw and Bill Cor are the designers of the second
Great
course.
Great designers.
Boy. It's really an amazing trip with Mike Kaiser.
And Kaiser basically is just buying up land across North America and turning it into golf resorts. So good for him. Well, it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you.
And this online portion of this is open now?
Yes, it is open. And people are bidding. It's terrific.
We're hoping everyone will join them.
All right. And a few tickets left. Best way to get the tickets is how?
To call Lyric Opera Women's Board Office.
Give me a number for that. Now you're on the spot. Now you're on the spot.
Okay.
We'll get the phone number.
I got it.
On the website.
It's
312-827-5682.
Nice job by you, Dallas.
Yes.
Good pull.
Thank you.
I'm looking
through
the wine auction.
Glad you're here. No, and Dave, as promised, I did the entire segment without a wino joke about you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes,
and that was appropriate.
Yes, and well done. 30th anniversary year. Help support the Lyric and have a great time. And join me on my $50,000, Chris.
Thank you so much.
You can outbid me now. 920, coming back on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girlfriend. Feels like he's on top. And I don't feel no.
Yesterday at Lane Tech, Apple decided to roll out their latest, which was a new student iPad. And what'd you say it was $299?
$299, yes.
But you got to be a kid.
You have to be a student.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the student iPad has a stylus, a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think it's kind of cool.
Okay.
You think the stylus kind of.
No, that's fine. It's fine. I actually need a new iPad. I got an iPad 2. The battery's done. So I need a new iPad.
Yeah, you do.
Could I pass for a student at this point?
I don't think
so. I'm curious about things. I'd like to learn.
Maybe take a class, a French class or something.
What do you need? It's funny you mention it. Something about that coming up. What do you need to qualify as a student? Do you have to actually be in a high school?
It is geared, yes, for high school students. Mm. You know, that's why they chose CPS to kind of unveil their layout.
So you're saying 1979 was a long time ago?
But you're capable academically.
Relatively speaking, yeah.
I am, and I'm immature.
Oh, there you go.
So I may be 57, but I can act like an 18-year-old. As long as it's before 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
No, never.
So anyway, I said, what is Apple going to come up with next? They appear to have run out of ideas, and the listeners have been chiming in all morning. How about iPerfume or iCologne? It's an app that tells you whether or not you're wearing too much of it.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But then what do you do if you have too much of it on?
Go home.
Okay.
Take a shower. 630, the eye better. There's two versions of this. One gets you well when you're sick. Apparently, you just rub the phone all over whatever hurts.
Like Vicks.
And the other eye better is I better do something I forgot to do. See, oh, it's like, I better do this, I better do that.
Is it like a reminder?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But there's like a shock element to it.
You better do it.
630, the iFind helps you find everything you've ever lost. I don't know that I want to find everything I've ever lost.
I do. I've lost so many things.
There's some things that should remain lost.
I lose things in my bag. Mary Sandberg makes fun of me.
There's not a female on this planet, and God love every one of you, that knows where your keys are when you need them.
Never.
Never.
Agreed.
Or the backs of earrings. I always lose the backs of earrings.
I wonder if there'd be that'd be a good store, just backs, yeah. Where they just sell earring backs.
I tell you, I have to use them for other earrings and switch them around.
They're
embedded in the carpet.
Mix and match everyone. Get the whole set.
It's a problem. Just so you know, I have the same pocket that I put all keys in every single time.
Then I was with you the only time you've ever lost your keys.
I never lost my keys.
Oh, yes. I remember being with you the morning that I got caught in the parking ramp. In the parking ramp, you went for three dives into your bag to find your keys.
Here, I will show you the key.
Oh, I'm not saying
hang
now.
On. The key pocket. No, it's difficult to get to. I will show you. I will do a video and I will post it. I have to go under a flap to go in a
actually,
flap.
You know
to go
what?
Into
you should do
pocket.
A video. You should do a video.
Yeah, I'll do it. So
should do a video showing people where to put their keys.
That is,
you should. I would watch it because I lose my keys.
And the only
day.
Time I lost my building pass is when someone in this room took it.
It's probably me.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that was
and
me.
Because I lose mine too.
And then he went
it.
Home and said, "Oh, I'm the one that has your pass."
I didn't have my pass. I said, "Let me borrow your pass. I gotta run out." So I took her pass, ran out, came back. I had both. I had my pass and her pass.
And you kept her pass.
Yeah. Well, but at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when I realized I had it, I admitted it. But there was a moment where I thought, maybe I'll just throw it away.
Just no. Throw it away? How about just put it on her desk and say, you must
well,
have
it? Well, they had already had to issue a second
Maybe
one.
I'll just toss it.
Yeah.
But no, you've blocked this from your memory. You literally went three dives.
I will
three
show you.
Dives.
No.
Three
when
dives.
When you're carrying everything, it's hard to get into my bag.
Well, what did I see then if I didn't see you go three
you
dives
saw
in your
me,
bag?
You saw me trying to get in the flap. I'll show you.
Okay.
There'll be a video.
Okay. Let's see. How about the I just can't?
Oh, is that an app for saying no? Oh, my God.
Well, that would be good for you. That would be good for you.
I would never use it.
You can't say no.
No, I'd feel guilty using it.
Yeah, the I'm not guilty. That's a different app. The I just can't. It smacks your head when you read the things that men say about women. I just can't.
Okay, yeah.
I just can't.
That's a good one.
The iambic makes your writer sound like Shakespeare. That's a deep one, but I like it. Would have gone well with our wine guests.
Yes, it would have.
And then there's this one. You brought this up a second ago. The I-Dean and the I-Steve. Everything you listen to has a bad French accent, and the word underpants appears in every third sentence.
Oui, oui.
You listeners are good. Back in a moment at 720 WGN.
The Los Angeles Dodgers insist Dodgers Stadium will be ready tomorrow after last night's exhibition with the Angels had to be interrupted and called after a foul-smelling leak dumped sewage onto the field, prompting a delay.
I don't even understand how this happened. Where did the sewage end up on the field?
There was a pipe, a water main break it caused it.
But did it come out of sprinkler holes or something?
I think it
sounds nasty in a million ways.
If you look at the pictures of it, it's not clear where it came from, but it was
very pictures unsightly. I don't want to look at.
You don't really want to look. Okay. It's kind of like the shots from the schools that
and that's not like a new sponsor of the seventh inning stretch or anything, right? It's like a sewer company or something.
No, I don't think so. No, this is not something they wanted to have happen.
You know what a septic tank is?
Mm-hmm.
Septic tank, you know, where you don't have a sewer system.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small town business where I grew up. They had the greatest slogan ever, and I don't remember the name of the company. I just remember the slogan: "We're number one in the number two business." Ah,
that's marketing.
That's marketing. It's 9:42. Ro Khan joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mr. Cochran.
We're trying to find Apple products that people really want because they've run out of ideas. from the 414, the iBroke. Now, this is a good idea. We've got several different versions of the iBroke, But the eye broke, the one that we see more consistently here, the eye broke is when you see an item, you scan it, and it tells you whether or not you can afford it. And if it does, if you can't, it mocks you to make sure you don't pay for it anyway and put it on a card.
There you go.
Just a laughing face flashes and going, I broke. And then, you know, you feel bad about yourself.
They're having quite a moment, aren't they? Just heard in Orion's news, this is a crazy moment for like all the tech companies, but Amazon, this is the one that scares me. And by the way, I would like to say one thing about Amazon. Don't they look great? Have they lost weight?
Yeah, they look fantastic. How fast can they get here?
Yeah, it couldn't happen faster. My issue though is that their stock is down based on the president wanting to singly target them for a different tax treatment. And why is that? Because maybe they own the Washington Post?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
It's not even a hidden agenda. It's a wide-open agenda.
Right. He's publicly saying that.
Right.
Is that okay?
No,
I don't think
that's
okay.
Not okay. Of course not. Okay. All right. He'd also like a stormy tax. It's a heavy tax on all porn actress lawyers. It's a new thing. He's just come up with it.
Well, I'd like to know how do you feel about that? I mean, I know.
About Stormy?
Let's have this conversation.
Wait, let the kids walk by the window. Okay, go ahead. Now go, Steve.
All right, thank you.
No, I'm serious.
What was your question, Rokan?
It's too much. This does not move the needle in any way.
Here's the thing. I don't disagree with you, but here's the thing. If we keep changing the standards of what the office should be, then there are no more standards. What are we, French?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Come on. It seems to me you should at least have the decency to fool around in a smarter way where you don't get caught so openly.
And don't pay her off.
And non-disclosure agreements and... Now, of course, the big issue here is not even campaign finance rules. It's the president subjecting himself to potential blackmail. And whether or not Stormy Daniels' attorney will get a reality show. These are the two things that are most front and center.
Well, clearly, he's already being blackmailed by the Russians, so there's that. I mean, we could see it. The nice thing about this is we get to see it all. It's like when you watch a show. It's like when you watch, you know, any, you name it, House of Cards, whatever it is. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
The other characters don't know what's going on.
How do you think Vladimir Putin felt the other day when he opens up whatever his afternoon briefing book is, and it says the United States is throwing 60 Russians out of the country? He goes, has Donald been overthrown? What happened? How did this get approved?
Get to me pictures from dossier. That was his initial thought. It's going to be like, hey, I got you here. I'd say, go ahead, Donald, make a day.
Make my day. 773 says, here's one, and this goes with our conversation here, a new app for Apple, the I Get Your Head Out of Your Ass. It activates automatically as needed.
These are all great ideas.
Let's talk about something pleasant, shall we?
Yes, all right.
Sister Jean and the Ramblers.
That's
the best. There's a band. Sister Jean and the Ramblers.
That you were in?
Yeah, I'm trying to join it right now. This is such a great story. Tell me the last time we had a story that felt this good.
33 years ago. You know, I was thinking about this, that when the Ramblers were in the NCAA 33 years ago, she was 65. So it wasn't really that interesting of a story, a 65-year-old nun. It wasn't special.
Right.
Now that she's a 98-year-old nun, now this is a big deal.
Well, especially since she's got Jalen Rose's grandmother trash-talking her.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, and Jalen, all right, a little bit of respect. Jalen Rose's grandmother is 100, so she does have her by 2 years.
You know what I thought of when I heard that yesterday? You remember the scene in Seinfeld where George takes the scooter and the other old folks from the home are chasing him down the street on their scooters? Huh? That's the kind of trouble you'd have. Sister Jean and Jalen Rose's grandma both having a scooter fight.
They need to get together. That's your beer summit.
Scooter demolition derby.
You wanted to do a beer summit? Mm-hmm. There you go.
We came up with the idea yesterday that in advance of the game, what they should do is they should both be on their stairlifters. And then a race to the second floor.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
That's awesome.
That's a very cool idea.
You like that?
I mean, I love that.
And you can sit in those and look very queen-like. They're very majestic way you slide up the banister.
Don't worry. It's like being on the Zamboni. You look great. Right. Don't worry about it. Right. You notice, even in the commercial on that, the people lose interest about halfway up the first flight.
Well, there's a self... you just feel funny, I think, at some point. It takes a long time. So you're halfway up, you go, oh, boy, people are looking. Turns out people are looking at me.
It could be like the Olympics, then. Like they could do like a bingo face-off.
Oh, a bingo-off. A bingo-off is a good idea.
Like that. Yeah.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, no, this is a great story for Chicago this year. I mean, we really do need this, right?
Dave, you know basketball.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances they're going to beat Michigan?
Oh, I think they've got they have a definite chance to beat Michigan.
Are we talking 50-50?
I mean, 50-50, yeah. You know what?
Steve, I think you're going to say no.
No, I'm really not, Ro, because I think if you look at the tournament, and this isn't in any way to diminish what Michigan has done, because that's a really good team, but it's almost like every game is kind of a toss-up. And the NCAA tournament has become sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy where you go into it knowing there's going to be crazy upsets, and it kind of has nothing to do with what happened during the regular season. And I think there's so much talk about that's what ends up happening. The people talk so much about how you have no idea how games are going to go, that's why a number 16 seed, Maryland Baltimore County, beats the number one overall seed.
The weird thing is, though, and we're all sports guys, and sports girls, momentum's tough to maintain over the course of a week. So, in basketball, I'm talking about. So, what do they do about keeping momentum up? See, the thing is, Ro, I believe these guys have already overachieved at such a level. There's zero pressure on them. Zero.
Well, and they're also incredibly well coordinated. Mm-hmm. This is a team that understands where everybody else is on the court. They played together for a long time. I mean, you got these one guys who like played together in the womb, right? Isn't that what I read?
Yeah, Clayton Custer and
Ben Richardson.
And Ben Richardson.
Third grade.
Right, third grade.
Yeah.
And Clayton Custer, we had coach on yesterday. He won a third grade 3-point shooting contest.
Right. And you know what I was thinking about, and I'd love to get Dave's thought on this too, that you know, we were talking about the idea, you know, on the afternoon show, 3 to 7. Afternoons on WGN.
Is that the Rel Con with Anna DeVonta show?
Yes.
Occasionally
that
featuring
is.
Kevin and Violetta?
Yes. And increasingly featuring Kevin and Violetta.
Yeah, that's a good point. You may not be on that much longer.
I get the sense. Yeah. I'm going to just... one day I'm going to have one cabbage roll and then it's going to be all over. They're going to just take me out that way. Anyway, the thing that I think is, you know, is fascinating is that you've got this... You have... With this team, this understanding, the way that they play together as well as they play together, you see that what really that kind of chemistry can mean. And that's why, like, the four-year concept of, you know, a basketball team where, you know, players stay together 3 or 4 years, which is kind of unheard of, right, mm-hmm. in the NCAA. I mean, that's, you know, that is where you that's a great advantage, I think, over teams that are one-and-dones and two-and-dones.
Well, it's one of the reasons it's been difficult in Chicago to get a legacy college basketball powerhouse going, because we don't have schools that cheat. We don't have schools that go freshman 5 and out. We have schools like Northwestern, where you're there for the education and sports as the bonus.
Right.
Loyola, it's an education and sports as the bonus. DePaul, people are going there for the education. You know, until we get, Ro, you and I got to get behind this, until we get a good, solid cheating program in this town, I don't know how far we can go.
I got a plan. Dave, what do you think? University of Chicago. I think we make them the cheaters.
Oh, yeah.
It is so cool to see guys that are just playing for the love of the game at doing as well as they're playing with a coach that seems like such the... I mean, is there a more real deal than a guy than this Porter Moss character?
And is there any chance he stays?
I think there is. I think, obviously, these situations come up. Remember Shaka Smart?
Yep.
When he took Virginia Commonwealth.
But he turned down two offers before he went to Texas,
Before
right?
he went to Texas, he had chances that year to go.
I loved her in the 80s.
And Shaka Smart. You know, hips Shaka don't lie.
I think he's obviously going to have opportunities. There aren't a ton of jobs open at the moment. That's another thing. Xavier job opened up yesterday, but I think that Loyola
so it should because I had them winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I personally am very happy about the fact that job opened
up. You and
up.
A lot of people, but I think that Loyola has made it clear they're going to do what they can to improve his situation and to make and it's less about improving his situation than it is, I think, about showing their commitment to being a, continuing to be a major program.
It's well, just we really fun. Could use we it's really could use this year.
Right. Which reminds me, we're getting some more texts here. The iGene, it tells you where Sister Jean is at all times. That's an app so you can
That's really
is.
Good.
The iOive, which tells you how much you're spending on the bar mitzvah gift for your neighbor's kid. The iOolala, which allows you to compliment someone without getting into a Me Too problem.
Oh, that's good.
The IEIEIO, which tells you where Orion Samuelson is at all times. All of these coming from our very creative listeners. All right, what are you doing today?
We have, I'm sure we have something very important. Hold on, let me just, let me look, because this happened like last week. We had like Santa Claus on, you know, for his first exclusive interview in 200 years.
Ah.
And I forgot to mention it because I did not get the email in time. But currently, I have absolutely nothing on the show.
Do you talk to your producer, I mean, before showtime? Is he allowed to look you in the eyes? Or?
Yes, yeah. At 10 o'clock every morning, we have this. Steve, if you don't mind staying on a little later, we could do this between 10:10 and 10:20, and then I would know exactly what was going on.
No worries. I'll just say, listen and watch. 3 to 4, you got your CLTV, simulcast, and Rokan and Anna, even though this may be the final day, because what I'm hearing is the Kevin Violetta and Porter Mosier show.
Yeah.
Starts as soon as the tournament's over.
Live from San Antonio tomorrow.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. Kevin is wheels up and on his way to San Antonio, yes, so we'll have him live from the Final Four.
All right, buddy. I'll see you.
Thanks.
That's Roku.
See you, Ro.
Dave Ennett on new Sox Park food in a moment. And Bill and Wendy, too, on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Listeners continuing to help. Here's another idea. The iDrone. It's not what you think it is. It's for when Steve drones on and on about a story until he beats it to death. The iDrone. About that?
Oh, wow. Did your mom text that?
Yes, she did. Thank you, Mommy.
Yes.
Dave, you were at Guaranteed Rate Field yesterday, and you ate some of the food. Did you eat anything other than salad?
No, I really didn't. But I looked at it. It all looked great. I mean, I.
Did you see anything over the top obnoxious, like ballpark food that's just glorious that you'd only eat at a ballpark?
No, I mean, I think it all looks great. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have all kinds of.
There's no White Sox burgers. Police here. They're our friends. You can tell me the truth. Was there anything there that just was, you go, this is fantastic. Kevin's going to love this.
Oh, I think there was a lot of stuff that Kevin tasted mm-hmm. and did love.
Mm-hmm. Churros?
He was eating one of these sausages. I think it might have been
the slurve,
which is...
You know about the slurve, Bill?
What is the slurve?
Johnsonville cheddar beer bratwurst topped with caramelized onions and spicy deli mustard. They also have the change-up and the cutter. The cutter has chorizo topped with guacamole and Dane, is it cotija cheese?
Cutter's a very volatile.
Yeah, sure.
Cotija. Okay.
And it's wrapped in chocolate.
In chocolate?
I don't think so.
And bathed in cotton candy.
Oh. With a sugary glaze? One of the things that Kevin mentioned was the knuckleballs. Dave, did you get a chance?
What are knuckleballs?
I saw them. I did not have them.
It's like pastry filled with cheese and then covered in like garlic parmesan butter.
Mm. Yeah. Sox get a deal with Wisconsin. Seems like there's a lot of cheese going on.
They have buffalo chicken empanadas. Mm. I saw those. Mm. Those look really good. Mm. Did not have one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of craft beers. Don't say it. I did not have any, but they have a lot of craft beers.
Salad and beer.
Yep.
Dave's big afternoon at the ballpark.
That's cute.
What I have.
The kale-infused IPA. They've got that.
Mm. Yeah, see, now you're talking,
tasty.
Dave.
We're back tomorrow. What are you doing today?
Well, Steve, as you know, there were a lot of major demonstrations over the weekend, anti-gun demonstrations, yep. And there's a big movement out in Wisconsin today, the 50 Miles More March. One of the organizers of that march will be joining us.
And who's your sidekick today?
Well, that's Dane Neal, of course.
Hello, Dane Neal.
Hello. Filling in for Wendy.
And Wendy is with the puppy?
Yes, she's with puppy.
It's bonding time.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for them.
Yeah, they're frolicking.
Which one has more fur? It's the puppy, right? Okay.
It's close.
We'll be back to you. You guys want to come back tomorrow?
Yeah, let's
All right, we'll come back tomorrow. Sure. It's up to you now. Go ahead.
Steve, thanks. We'll see you tomorrow then.
All right, we'll come back tomorrow.